This is PFW in progress.
Hey, we're all misfits too. Maybe we should stay here for a while.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Here comes the coach.
PFW and friends.
Paul Perillo.
Longest, thickest peanut butter.
You mean pea soup.
You eat what you like, I'll eat what I like.
Yeah!
And Andy. And Andy?
Why am I such a misfit? I am not just a nitwit. You can't buy any, I quit.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Seems I don't fit in.
Andy Hart.
Something wrong with your nose? I mean, you talk kind of funny.
You're so funny both the way I talk.
Who ever heard of a skinny...
Some guy named Tom.
Eat.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
I think you're cute.
PFW in progress.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Okay, PFW in progress. Tom Casale here with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo after a big Patriots win over the Texans. You can send us an email at webradio@patriots.com. I can't see the phone number because Gary's in front of me, but no one really calls anyway. Yep, they're back. So I know you guys got them back in the Super Bowl. What do you think?
I don't have them back in the Super Bowl, and my headphones don't work. I can't hear anything. So I'll just take them off.
Yeah, I'm obviously being facetious.
They did what they were supposed to do, which was something they were not capable of doing against the Lions.
Exactly. They did what they were supposed to do.
They took a small step forward.
Now, and I don't know why anybody could possibly... How can anybody possibly be worried about the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that lost to that Houston Texans team, not once, Tom, but twice?
Yeah, well, they just have their number.
Matchups. It's all about matchups.
It's all about matchups. And we'll have to see this week, I guess. This is a big test for the Patriots coming up to see if they're actually turning the corner. Okay, so what if they go to Jacksonville and get beat 24-10?
24-10.
The same thing that's been happening. Offense can't do nothing. You know,
that's
it's
fine.
One of those...
They are what they are. There's
so,
three things that can happen.
Then
they can go down there and
then
get blown out. They can be mediocre, or they can put together a good win, and you say, well, maybe they're doing a little something.
Right, but if they lose the game and they get the Jacksonville's more physical than them, they run the football, they get to Brady, now do we just say that's it? It's
well,
all
I say
over.
I would say they're probably one and done.
I would say that they are their only shot is a puncher's chance in the playoffs, just a flat-out upset in the playoffs. That's,
which, by the way, is how I feel right now.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know.
I think if they lose just an average game by, you know, 10 points and it's just sort of the Jags are the better team, then I say, you know what? They just are what we are, and that's just a mediocre team that's in the mix because they're okay enough to make the playoffs. But other than that, just aren't that good this year.
Okay. So, now
if they go down there and they hand it to the Jags, if they physically dominate them, put a little something together on offense, make plays on defense, then I'll say, you know what, maybe they are doing something positive.
Okay, so now what's going on here? We got Watson, he's hurt, Maroney's hurt, there's reports Falk is hurt, Wilfork's hurt. I know teams have injuries at this point in the season, but these are key players for the Patriots. Now, if a couple of them come back, okay, but if they move forward without a lot of these guys, it's going to be tough.
Which one's the most important?
I would have to go between Wilfork and Watson probably because I like Maroney, but he's only getting 11 carries a game anyway. Me and Paul and I talked about this after the game. I know Dane had 96 yards on the ground or whatever, but a lot of it came kind of on that first drive of the second
right.
half. But still, since Wilfork has gone out, they have been able to run up the middle on him. So I think that's a little bit of concern. To me, it's Watson. Because you play a team like Jacksonville with a good defense. Say they put Rasheen Mathis on Caldwell and they neutralize him. Where's the offense going to come from?
See, I just haven't been as wowed by Watson and the offense in general. And I'm just not so sure that, say, your boy, Dave Thomas, can't make a play here or there if you need him to.
I know, but Watson is their leading receiver.
No, I know. But he's also their leading fumbler.
That's true.
The way that I'd like to see Wilfork back, because with or without Watson, I thought this team was going to have to win in the postseason with defense, special teams, and just a little bit of timely offense. So I think I'd like to maybe go into the postseason if I'm a Patriots fan saying, you know what, this defense is good. This is a defense that's giving up 13 points a game. If they can do that, and we can get one of those fortunate punt return, interception return, kickoff return, we can win games. But if you go in doubting your defense, your run defense especially, the one thing you've sort of counted on all year, now I think you just have question marks across the board. So I think Wilfork is a big, big key. I'm not in love with Watson. I think there's other guys, you know, maybe in my scenario, Falk's the more important guy. Because if you play defense and you're in those close games, when Kevin Falk needs to make a play late for the
field goal. Well, you know, hey, baby, I wasn't in love with David Givens, but here he was important. Watson is a key element to that passing game, which has struggled all year.
He's got a fumble.
You take him out of that. Now you're basically down to Rashe Caldwell and the two or three catches Troy Brown makes a game.
Right, and Graham. You'd probably have to sort of bump Graham up a little bit and say, Matt Light, you might actually have to block somebody.
Didn't we see the blueprint, though, in Miami where they said, you know what, these receivers stink. We don't care about them.
But that's my point. I think this offense,
right,
this passing offense, stinks with Ben Watson or without Ben Watson. So I never thought they were going to win because of the passing offense. So I don't think they'll lose because it took a minute step backwards.
Yeah,
I think they win and lose with defense, special teams, and fortune.
I don't necessarily look at it as an indictment of Watson, but I would think Wilfork, I kind of agree with Andy on this, Tom. I think Wilfork would be the more important guy to have back because I think he's more important to the stronger part of your team. You don't like it, Andy?
What's this white stuff on the steak?
Gary?
That would be garlic butter.
Okay.
There you go. So I think Wilfork is the more important.
I'm gaining weight as I eat.
Well, they're definitely both important going forward, as is Maroney.
Yeah, I'm not dismissing Watson. I think you're right, Tom, about some of the reservations you have about losing him.
I just think now with Gabriel, I mean, where Kelvin Kite, is something going to happen that, I mean, Jabbar Gaffney, he had his chance.
Chad Jackson's going to catch 120 passes in the final 2 weeks. He'll be in the Pro Bowl.
Well, this is something I wanted to share with you guys to see what you thought about this. I was listening to Bill Parcells' press conference yesterday, and he was talking about Miles Austin, who's an undrafted rookie free agent, who they have him returning kicks now, and he's doing well. And they asked Parcells about him, and he said, well, some things that players do don't take a lot of thinking. He said, returning kicks doesn't really take a lot of thinking. But sometimes when you take a guy with athletic ability like that and you expand his role, his athletic ability is hindered because he has to think too much, and blah, and you know, he went on. And I started thinking about Chad Jackson because we were saying how he didn't look fast, he didn't look crisp out there. You think that could be the problem with him is that they're trying to give him more stuff, but it's the thinking thing that's slowing him down, and he's not using that athletic ability the way he should?
Yeah, I think that could be part of it. I mean, I just don't – I've never seen it, so I don't know if he is football fast. You know, I don't know if he has that elite speed that he should have on the football field.
Don't you find it a little weird that with Maroney out, he's not back there returning kicks or doing anything to help the team at all?
Well,
because don't you think he
didn't return kicks much in college, right? He returned punts, I think.
I know,
he returns one more than the other.
My point is,
they did try him in that capacity.
Right.
If he's supposed to be this phenomenal athlete, right, with the blazing speed, you got Kevin Falk back there, and I feel like there should be something that he could contribute to this team if he's the guy that we were sold on.
What if they're trying to break him? What if he thinks he's the guy that we were sold on?
Maybe that's the problem.
And that's why they're putting him out there to block on running plays.
Maybe.
And then telling him to get back to the sideline.
Back up Andy's point there, do you know, and I don't know if these numbers are quite accurate, but one of the reports I think yesterday indicated that he was on the field for 19 offensive plays on Sunday. And Belichick yesterday on WEEI as part of Patriots Monday mentioned that he probably was only on the field for 4 or 5 passes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that, you know, 75% of the time he's on the field, it's in a blocking capacity?
It just doesn't make sense.
I'm telling you, I think they're trying to break him.
That's what I'm saying. You might not be
wrong. I think he has an air of I was supposed to be a first-round pick.
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
I run a 4.3 40.
But didn't Ellis,
I'm this great
Ellis
playmaker.
Doesn't Ellis Hobbs
have never miss one air bubble?
Doesn't Ellis Hobbs have that air? You know, like last he's a confident, cocky guy, but they threw him out there.
But maybe he may have Jackson's been trying to break is him hindering too. His learning the offense. Maybe they feel like he's not doing what he needs to do to get in the offense because he feels like, whatever, I'm fast and I can make plays regardless of what I know. I get a little bit of the sense, because of the whole putting him out there just to block, that they're trying to send him some sort of message.
And do you think he'll receive it?
That's the question. That's where you get the divide of whether he's a three-year Patriot or he's here for a while.
But couldn't you make the argument, Tom, that they've maybe done a little of that with Hobbs as well? Where all of a sudden he's playing every week for 5-6 weeks,
yeah, I was just,
and then Ray Mickens comes off the street and suddenly
no,
is
but
supplanting
I was just,
him as a nickelback?
I was talking more about last year when they needed defensive backs. They weren't afraid to throw him in there.
Oh, it was well into the season before they did.
It was like
did.
Mid-year. And the other thing is...
Right, but I'm pretty sure they need receivers.
There's a difference between being cocky and talking a lot and not falling in line with what you're supposed to do. And if you believe the other DBs, Ellis Hobbs does what he's supposed to do in terms of preparation. So, I think there's a divide.
So
there.
You're saying
I haven't heard too many people rave about Chad Jackson's attitude and all
so
these
you say,
good things.
You're saying it's not a cockiness issue; it's an attitude issue, more along
yeah.
the lines of that.
If he was working hard in the meeting room, in the film room, and being outwardly cocky elsewhere, I think
care.
They wouldn't like it necessarily, but it wouldn't matter. But don't. I think the attitude would be: don't be cocky when you haven't done a damn thing in practice or for this team, and. Don't forget, Tom Brady sort of called him out last week when he was asked about him and said, I don't know, he hasn't been out
right.
there. We'll have to see when he actually gets out there. So don't forget that. You know, if the quarterback doesn't like you and the coach doesn't like you, maybe they're really working on sending a message to this guy and trying to break him.
Okay. Well, we had the good this week. I mean, the defense played great, forced turnovers, gave the offense a short field, special teams, Hobbs with the kickoff, Gostkowski, four for four on field goal attempts.
Yeah, that's one of those you can find the silver lining in the offense not taking advantage of all of those short fields. Gostkowski had a chance to make all those
right.
kicks. You know, right now, I think he's to the point where you don't really even think about him anymore. And that's, I think if you had
you
said that.
If it was a, you know, playoff game, 2 seconds to go, down by two, coming in to kick the
and
game.
And it's also amazing how few really testing field goals he's even attempted. He made the 52-yarder. He hasn't seemed like, to me, he's had a lot over 40 yards.
I don't think he had. What is three, maybe?
You know, so, but I'm just saying, from a confidence standpoint, I think that was good for him. He continues his role. I think he's made something like, 12 of his last 13, 13 of his last 14, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
So that's as good as you can hope.
One of the things I thought, and I'm not piling on here, I'm not piling on Corey Dillon, but one of the negatives I thought was the running game, because I thought they got a big lead, and they would wear down the Texans running the football, and Dillon had 20 carries for 61 yards. That's not getting it done. I mean, I figured early on in that game when they got the big lead, I thought he was going to have a 100-yard day easy, because they'd be running them, and, you know, I just think... Now he might start getting worn down a little bit. That's another reason why they need Maroney back, because you don't really want Dillon to carry the ball 20 times a game.
There's only a second one this year, right?
Yeah.
Of 20 carries. He didn't. The offense didn't do anything great. I mean, they took advantage of field position, got a lead, and were sort of just content to go with it. So, passing. I mean, Tom Brady, 109 yards after 78. Lowest two-game total in his career as a
really?
Starter.
Is that right?
Well, I did the math on my own, so I'm going with it's right. just so you know, I didn't have any others. Steven, it was a quick scan of his, and he's never had, like, two really low games. So, yeah, lowest two-game total, but they didn't need it. I mean, they made plays elsewhere. You know, the numbers weren't great, but as Heath Evans would say, you won't hear any complaints from anybody in here. If we win 40-7 each
right.
week with 103 yards passing.
And that's clearly part of the reason why they only had 109 yards passing is because they had so many short fields. It's kind of like that, you know, it's a perpetuating cycle with like Tennessee and Jacksonville. Well, part of the reason those stats got as out of whack as they did was because Tennessee never had the ball because they kept scoring on
yeah.
defense, you know. So that's three separate times during the course of that game. Jacksonville basically had two drives back-to-back.
Well, didn't they go, wasn't it 13 minutes in the third and fourth quarter without playing offense?
Oh, and got like out, 18, and probably got outscored 14-0, right?
18 minutes. So, yeah, 18 minutes without touching the ball on offense.
So that's where the stats can lie a little bit. Now, I don't think they really lied, you know, against the Texans. It was just domination all around for the Patriots. But it would have, you know, to Tom's point about the running game and whatnot and not always taking advantage of those opportunities, it would have been interesting, say, if maybe the Texans had only turned it over twice instead of four times and they were able to get some offense when they did get the ball and it was a closer game. If you look back at it and say, wow, you know, they had all those opportunities in the red zone, and they only came away with 12 points when they could have gotten, you know, 28 if that had been a situation that, you know, put them in a close game at least.
I just don't think Tom gives Corey Dillon the respect that the Boston Globe said that he should.
Well, that's a problem with Tom. He doesn't give a lot of respect.
Well, that's 3.8 yards a carry. I don't know what to tell you. I read somewhere that they said Corey Dillon couldn't carry the load, and he proved everyone wrong. Where? What did he prove?
I think he proved that he
couldn't carry the load. That's what I was thinking.
But that's, you know.
Because you ain't going to, listen.
I know it's going to end up being we're beating on him again.
No, but you're
and
not going to get a better
on.
Chance than this, Paul. You played a team that by all accounts, gave up.
Tom, you're preaching to the
No,
choir.
I know. I'm just saying. But if you're going to have a game where he's going to break tackles and run well, this was it. This team stopped playing. There was guys in the locker room that said after that kickoff, it just took the wind right out of us. We didn't have anything left. I mean, they basically told you they gave up.
Yeah, they went into the locker room and obviously said, let's get back out there, win the second half, play for pride. They went down, took the opening kick, went right down the field and scored, gave up a kick and said, well, we tried.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go. Let's get back on the plane.
But you know,
what time's that flight?
So now the scenario is this: the Patriots need one win. Is that correct? I'm right, right?
Or a Jets loss?
Or a Jets loss to win the East?
Right.
The nightmare would be is if you don't want the Patriots losing this week and then the Jets winning on Monday night again on Christmas night. I mean, because now you're looking at this the following week. The Patriots are going to Tennessee to face the Red Hot Titans. And Oakland is going to New York, which I can assure you is a win, because Oakland will have the golf clubs in the trunk. They will be done. The season will be over for them. And you don't want to have to wait and hope that they go on the road and beat Tennessee. So hopefully this week it'll get it. I mean, the Jets have a tough. I know Harrington didn't play well and all that, but Miami at home, they're still the Jets. They're not a great team. That's going to be a tough game for them, so they could lose that.
And it's still Miami at home.
Yeah.
And they have a much better chance at home. So, yeah. But let's just say it wouldn't take a real shocker anywhere in there for that scenario to unfold.
No.
I mean, I could easily see the Jets beating the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And I could easily see the Jaguars beating the Patriots.
And then you're down to the final week, which I don't think anybody thought. And as Andy Hart said, if the Jets win this division, you might have to take Bill's shoestrings from them.
I'm going to say this. If...
Velcro shoes from here on out for Bill Belichick.
I agree with you. I agree with you on the surface about the shocker thing. But if the Patriots have to win to get in that last week, I'd be shocked if they lost to Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
If they had to win. If they need
that
game.
I know, Paul. Vince Young's the kind of guy can put a team on his back and carry him, baby. If not through physical plays, through the belief that we can win. The man is a leader. He was born a leader. He'll die a leader.
I would go the opposite end where the Tennessee just blitzes the crap out of Brady and locks up the receivers and the Patriots can't. Kind of like that Dolphins game would be my nightmare for that, because Tennessee's playing some pretty good defense.
This is a very explosive team that is big and fast and can score in a large number of ways.
You know, they
Thank
got
God
Pac-Man.
We don't do those anymore.
They got who's that linebacker that Kyle doesn't know? What's
Keith
his name?
Bullock.
Keith
might have
Bullock.
Heard of him. Chris Hope.
I got to be honest with you. I hate Chris Berman, and I hate ESPN. But the three things that he's done in life that have made me laugh are Burt Beholm by 11, the with All-Star, and now the Pac-Man thing. Those three things are funny.
That's
Wait, did he start it? I thought Tom Jackson started.
Well, whatever. They started it, whatever. But I got to tell you, the three of us had a lot of fun with that in the press box this past week, because we knew that Pac-Man Jones had a long interception return, and we did that the rest of the day.
And I heard Jackson doing it during the highlights, and he was running out of womp-womps.
Yeah,
he was getting tired.
That was a weird game. I mean, you don't find games much weirder than that.
Yep.
So
Bert be home by 11. He likes that.
That was a good one.
I don't get half of them because the guy's like 25 years older than me and continues to use one.
Lawrence Boney Maroney.
You didn't get that one, Boney Maroney.
What is it?
We told you it was a dance.
Oh.
Remember we went
safety
through this
dance.
Whole thing? Whatever.
We talked about that one, too.
Yeah.
I heard that one the other day.
You never heard the song Safety Dance?
It didn't ring a bell when you people were using it for things.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to get some emails? We got a ton. A ton.
Keep them coming. Fast and furious.
We got Nick in San Diego. He says, I'll say this for
Corey. See you in a month.
I'll say this for Corey. If you can't maintain the endurance to carry the ball for a whole game, maybe you shouldn't end all your runs that go out of bounds by flailing for 10 more yards before a cheerleader has to catch you. Save your energy. We've spent a lot of time, rightly, bashing commentators. Rich Gannon was in the box for this game, and I now have a new favorite sportscaster. He replaces, I really hate all the rest, but Gannon uses his knowledge and doesn't soften it up for the viewers who don't know football. Good job, Rich. Sorry we cut you way back when. Is it possible that Fred could give a little Pat spirit? What's this?
What's this now?
I'm trying to figure out where he's going. Is it possible? I didn't know he was talking about Fred Kirsch. Is it possible that Fred could give a little Pat spirit? Andy, you can give him some smarts. Tom could give him a little fire. And Paul, a little hair to Chad Jackson for Christmas. I can't imagine what Chad is doing, but is it possible that he can't be more useful than Kelvin Kite? That's from Paul, Nick in San Diego.
Paul can't spare the hair. He's got enough trouble covering his own dome right now.
I'll give him anything else. I don't have anything left to give.
A few LBs, maybe.
I could give him a few LBs.
So, well, that's, it's tough. There's two Florida receivers here. One was drafted in the second round. One was picked up off the street, and the guy picked up off the street is
after training camp already started, by the way. It's rare enough for those guys to even, sniff making the
Tom
roster.
Tom Casale wasn't surprised. I saw him doing that little thing where he ran with his arms, catching the ball. I said, well, this guy can play. Doesn't take much for me.
Pump, catch. And the then funny, the deep one,
but,
pump, pump,
But the
pump,
funny
pump,
thing
catch.
Was that other people started doing it, right. Doing the pump, pump, catch. So the guy's a trendsetter.
Ricky
like
Bryant
that.
Couldn't do it.
It's true.
And he stuck around.
Shucks. Sawyer from Lost chimes in. Hey, guys, I didn't get to see the second half of the game. How did Matt perform at the end of the game? I was happy to see Sanders give Teddy the recognition that the pass was tipped. Well, Teddy doesn't need recognition. That was a good play by Sanders, too.
Plus, it was obviously tipped.
Matt Castle didn't... He wasn't asked to do much. The game was over by the time he got in, so...
I liked the jokes on EEI about that, about... They had to bring Castle and Testaverdian to kneel because, as Bridget Moynihan can tell you, Brady won't kneel.
I guess, by the way,
ESPN has stolen our thing.
Exactly. How far ahead of the curve were we on the hooking up?
Said
Tom
they don't
Brady?
Have any Jessicas on the list.
No.
And I tried to vote and it said file either? Not found.
Well, they had, they had Salma Hayek, Jennifer
Pamela
Aniston,
Anderson.
Pamela Anderson, Mandy Moore. Which Mandy Moore doesn't belong anywhere near
Lindsay
that
Lohan.
List. Lindsay Lohan.
And then a bunch of hot girls I never heard of.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Girl from Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yes. Who, by the way, is getting better and better looking every week.
I voted for Salma
Hayek. She has a very strange name.
I think she's
Minka,
tremendous.
Something like that.
I'm seeing a disturbing trend here in the emails, so let's put this to rest now. The Texans beating the Jaguars means nothing for this week's game. Absolutely nothing. Because I could just say, well, the Dolphins dominated the Patriots, and the Jaguars took care of them easily in Miami. So
then you sound like Fred Kirsch at the wrap-up of a TV show. Yeah. Well, the Bears beat the Lions. Well, you could say
the Patriots dominated the Bills, and then the Bills dominated the Dolphins. And,
right. Obviously, Houston has Jacksonville's number for some reason, kind of like Miami and New England. That's just the way it is. I don't know why. But we have Al Fecto. Well, we had much better field position to start drives as opposed to last week in Miami, where it seemed like every drive started inside the 10. It's easy to knock Houston, but they managed to beat the Jaguars twice this year, so maybe next week's game against the Jags is not to be as feared as we may think. See, now that kind of thinking is no good. It's no good. The Jags run the ball well, of course, but there's one thing that stands out about the Pats this year. It would be our run defense, and hopefully we'll have Vince Wilfork back as well. In any case, I will be at the game as Valdosta, Georgia, is only about a half hour from Jacksonville, Florida. Looking at the postseason positioning, I'd say that there is still a slim chance for a first-round bye. I'm just going to stop the email right there. I'm sorry. There's no chance for a first-round bye. You guys agree with that, I would imagine.
I mean, it's about as close to mathematical impossibility as you can get. I mean, San Diego definitively has clinched one of the spots, and either Baltimore or Indianapolis needs only to win one of their remaining two games.
Right.
Either or, not both.
Right.
Either
and
one
the
of them
Colts
only has to win
Houston
one.
Houston and Miami at home.
They only have to win one out of those.
And the Patriots have to win both theirs.
Yeah, and the Patriots have to win both of theirs.
Which, by the way, are road games. So, it's pretty far out there.
So, who's Baltimore play?
Baltimore's got Pittsburgh this week, and then I'm not sure who they have after that. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and I thought it was an easy game, and the Colts have Houston and
definitely out of
Miami.
The division because they'll be done with the division.
Who is it, Wayne?
Wayne
and Jacksonville on the line. Hey, Wayne, what's going on?
Baltimore. Hey, good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Oh, man. A lot of talk down here in the radio, so I'm a little confused. Jacksonville last night needed Indy to win because it was an easier road for them to get into the wild card. And they keep saying, and I don't quite understand this. I'm missing something on the record here. If we lost two and Jets won two, what happens?
The Jets will be the AFC East champs based on conference record.
Okay, so they're right. So then this game is everything.
Oh, yeah.
The Jacksonville game is huge.
This is a playoff game. There will be a playoff atmosphere for both teams. Jacksonville needs it to get in. This is about as close to a playoff
game
as you can get in the regular season.
It's a big game. The Patriots want to put that to rest, obviously, and they don't want to have to wait for help the next night against, in the Miami-Jets game. So this is a big game for the Patriots, and it's an even bigger one for Jacksonville because Jacksonville loses, they're out.
Right, and like we said, the following week, the Patriots have to go on the road to play a pretty good team, and the Jets get Oakland at home. I mean, you can't ask for anything more if you're the Jets than having the Raiders come here in the middle, at the end of December.
Oh, yeah, definitely, and I saw that. I mean, last 2 weeks, everybody plays good this time of year if you're a good ball club and you want to, even if you're not in it, if you're going to be a good ball club next year, you got to play. So if Miami lays down, we could be in trouble here.
And I'm a little worried about Miami because I'm afraid the Patriots game might have been their Super Bowl. I know they play well.
They put
a lot
into that
they
game.
Put
There's
a lot
no doubt
in.
About that.
And now they had the Harrington with the bad game. And if the Jets go down there and play well, I think they're going to get the victory.
Well, last 2 days have been pretty ugly down here on the radio. But they're definitely getting all of. They definitely know where they're coming from here. I mean, it's huge. This is it for them.
What are you hearing about Fred Taylor down there?
He's done. He tweaked it.
He's all done.
Twice, and they're not going to play him right now. That's the word. But they're, they're just like the past. I'm not going to say it officially, but the word is not good for him.
But,
he went pretty good on that play.
But the call the other way for Jones-Drew looks like he's going to play, according to what I've read in today's papers.
Yes. Yeah. If he doesn't play, then
they're
really
in trouble.
Bad.
Yeah.
And then they they got to go with the backup because the other guy or Leftwich isn't going to play. So they got to go with him, and he had a horrible game. And we'll see if he can bounce back. I mean, this has been the story of those two quarterbacks forever. So, if he has a good game, it's going to be tough.
Well, it should be a tough game.
More importantly, Wayne, what are we doing Saturday night? What can Tom, Andy, and I look forward to entertainment-wise? Anything good?
Anything good on Saturday night before the game, 23rd of December.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I'm going to be up there, so I don't know. I give away my tickets. I'm going to be up there. Let me think. You got to go down to the landing or down to there'll probably be a lot happening at the landing, and there'll probably be a lot happening at a couple of the trendy bars in town. All that walkway down there could be on fire. It's going to be pretty big for Jacksonville. I mean, they're already pumping it up pretty hard, so it's not going to be pleasant. I know that much.
I think it's going to be one of those ugly games, one of those low-scoring, defensive, field position kind of games. And Tom thinks, what did you say upstairs? He thought that Jones-Drew might be the guy to
to watch for, that they can get him in the open field. I forget how you put it.
Yeah, if they can
when get, I just missed you upstairs.
If they can get him, not I don't mean just passes in space. I mean if he runs the ball and gets through the line and then he's in that open field, I think he's a mismatch with the Patriots linebackers. I mean, he's a heck of a player. You watch those highlights. Once he gets through that line, it's like people are just grasping at air. He makes everybody miss. I've been very impressed with him, especially the way he's been running inside. I thought he'd be more kind of a scat back, kick returner type guy, but he's done really well down there.
You got to have, I mean, the secondary has to be on their toes because if he breaks, you got to be, I mean, he's like a little bowling ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he is short with huge legs, and if he gets going, he's darn near impossible to catch sometimes. And, in my opinion, if Lawrence Maroney doesn't play, then they're going to do exactly what they did to us in Miami. They're not going to really honor the threat of the run because where's Corey Dillon going to go? Even if he breaks 10, 15 yards, he's not going to go down the field.
Right. And that's what teams say.
He's just not. He just doesn't have the gas anymore, his tank. But if you get him in a short yardage position, you better watch out because he's going to mull you over.
And to be honest, in this game, this isn't a Corey Dillon game with Henderson and Stroud sitting there in the middle. This doesn't look like a great Corey Dillon kind of game. It's something where you need Maroney's speed to the outside, I would think, because you're not going to make a living running inside against that team.
No. You're better off using Dillon, throwing the ball in short screen passes, let him get five that way instead of trying to butt his head against the wall there because it's going to be pretty good. And they're going to know that. But, we don't know if Maroney's going to play, so... If that doesn't happen, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be just like the Miami game. They're just not going to worry about it, and they're just going to, cover the receivers. And once you cover our receivers, we're done.
Well, it should be an interesting game.
Good scouting report from Wayne, man. Thanks. Good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Miami did. I mean, they didn't have to worry about it. And if you don't have to worry about it, all you have to do is pressure Tom Brady, and he's trying to take way too much time to get that ball out there. He's trying to give his receivers an extra second or two, and he's getting constantly knocked down. And we're going to pay for that one day. He's going to get hurt. And, it just needs to be, we need to have a running game, or they're going to get us.
All right, Wayne. Well, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Wayne Down, he thinks Tom Brady's going to get hurt. We've got no running
what
game,
do you got
no
over
chance.
Shut up. What do you got over there?
What was the question?
Baltimore plays who last week?
Oh, Buffalo at Baltimore.
Okay, at Baltimore, so they probably
should win that game.
A pretty good defensive matchup.
But even if they lose that game, the Colts are going to have to lose to Houston and Miami.
And the Patriots have to beat Jacksonville, and Wayne just said they have no chance if Maroney doesn't play, which I'm sort of dubious of.
Now, the one thing, though, I should mention...
He didn't say they had no chance,
basically.
To defend.
I paraphrased him.
The one thing I should mention is that without Fred Taylor, I think that becomes a problem because they were using Jones-Drew perfectly. They were giving him like 12 to 15 carries a game. They were throwing some passes to him. Now you're looking at where he's got to carry the ball 20 to 25 times, and I don't think he's that kind of back, and he can wear down a little bit. So Taylor injury is kind of big.
Would you do that, Tom, if you were Jacksonville, or would you – and it looked like they did a little of this against Tennessee. Would you do Tofield?
I would do Toe.
And then keep Jones-Drew in that 12 to 15 touches kind of role and let Tofield be the guy on first and second down and, generally ask him to carry the load in between the tackles, knowing that he's not going to be able to do it as well as Fred Taylor, but you still keep Jones-Drew as fresh as possible.
That's what I think you're going to see because I think they gave Jones-Drew 20 carries last week. He had 99 yards. A pretty good day, but I just don't think they want to give him the ball 25 times on straight handoffs. They'd rather use him in different ways, and I think you're going to see more of the Brandon Tofield, little Alvin Pierman snuck in there, and that Wimbush. Apparently, he's high on the depth chart, but no one's ever seen him play. So
they have like 400 running backs.
They do.
Too.
So
none of them are fullbacks. They're all running backs.
And
whatever happened to the Florida State guy?
He's
gone
for the season.
He's out for the season.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Greg Jones. Now, right now, that's a big injury because he could be that guy who pounds it a little bit.
How sick is that? You knew exactly who I was talking about. I felt like Ron Hobson right there.
And that
Florida State guy.
I hate, I don't want to go into it, but they showed a thing with him working out once. Man, you want to see a physique.
Is that you, Hobby?
Okay.
I'd love to have that body, says Tom Casale.
You've seen it, Andy. You know what I'm talking about. You saw it. I've heard you.
Yeah, I just don't dream about it like you do.
I'd like to look like that. I'm sorry. Hey, I like to look good. Mike in Idaho.
Yeah, I like
and you like guys who look good, too.
He says.
And he also likes young girls.
I love young girls.
Young girls and big, ripped black guys. That's Tom Casale's.
I like young girls. Mike Bowen has some numbers here. An impressive score, but a few things were not very impressive. 2.8 yards a carry, 4.6 yards a pass, several drop passes, the worst of which being Gaffney's, 4.8 yards per carry allowed. The last is the one that maybe somewhat explainable by the fact that Mike Wright is not Vince Wilfork, and it seems to me that James Sanders was not playing the run. When Sanders came up to make a tackle, it was about 10 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. Still, what it does mean is that the front seven, especially Wright, Brabel, and Bruschi, could not get off their blocks. Not to be all negative, with a 40-7 win, special teams and defense did make plays. Even accepting that the latter was aided by a lot of the poor play of David Carr, the defense did make the plays when the opportunities were presented.
You know what's funny about that email is there's nothing that was wrong in there, but it does sound like kind of one of those movies, you know, those high school movies about a high school football team that's great, and the coach is like an over-the-top stereotype, screaming at his kids and stuff, and you look at the scoreboard and it's like 60-0. You know, you're right. Not going to beat anybody playing like that. But I mean, everything in the email was right. They did squander some opportunities. They did have a tough time running the ball. They did have a tough time getting a lot of yards passing. They had a tough time stopping the run. I'm just not so sure that a lot of those stats.
The only thing they had was the win.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that any or all of those stats really meant anything. Even the running allowed, because I felt in the first half when the game was, you know, that brief period where it was still competitive, they couldn't get a third and one. They
right.
couldn't get a fourth and one.
Right.
They didn't run the ball very effectively, with the exception of that opening drive of the second half when it was already 27-0.
Right. I agree that the stats are skewed a little in this game. Like I said, the only thing I was concerned about was an inconsistent running game.
Yeah, that
didn't take the
opportunity.
That's
bad.
You know,
and that's just, most of that is Dylan.
And that wasn't deceiving.
I don't go to the team thing because you add in five kneel downs or whatever, and that kills the team yard per carry average. Go to Dylan.
But Dylan's,
look at Dylan's 20 carries for 61
right,
yards.
That was bad.
That's the big issue, not the 2.8.
You would think in a game like that against that defense, he would be around the 100 yard mark for 20 carries.
Yep. Especially in light of the fact that the defense their will was broken. They were on the field constantly,
yeah, all game,
in the shadow of their own goalposts, and yet they still couldn't run it, you know, all that effectively.
Well, Paul,
are you going to go back to Bill's days in Cleveland?
this next email is really going to piss you off.
Good.
What are you going to do?
Well, it's just like you guys said. If they win, which they should, it's only the Texans, and we'll have to see what happens in the coming weeks. But at least the Chargers, aside from LT, didn't look especially impressive Sunday night.
I was waiting for these emails.
If it weren't for that pump block, the Chiefs were on their way to making it a close game. One play that sticks in my mind during our game was the opening drive. Jabbar Gaffney beat his coverage, hugging the right sidelines, 20 yards or so from the end zone, and Brady put the ball in a perfect position for a kick-butt touchdown pass. Gaffney flat-out drops it. It gave me such a sinking feeling. I thought to myself, even if they win, I'm still pissed off because everything I've been fighting against in the wideout controversy is completely true. It seems like these guys simply won't come around like I was hoping. I just have to pray now that we can slather on the Vaseline and maybe slide undetected or underestimated into the playoffs and pull some upsets. Any given Sunday, anyone? Thank you. That's RJ from Las Vegas.
The cry of the week. Any given Sunday, any team can beat another.
In terms of the San Diego game, by the way, did you guys watch that when you guys got home?
Some of it.
I mean,
the block punt. Okay,
that was amazing.
It was a fluke play. Although, remind me to get to something on that. The block punt happens. Okay, that's a tough break for Kansas City. They make a big play on special teams, and San Diego ends up with a first down.
85 yards later.
Okay, you're still on your own 15-yard line.
They were sulking the next play.
Right. I mean, that doesn't mean that Kansas City says, oh, well, we blocked a punt, we didn't get the ball, now we can just let LT go 85 yards virtually untouched. I mean, that's, you know, to say that not for the block punt, it was going to be a close game. First of all, it was a close game. And second of all, that doesn't excuse you to allow an 85-yard touchdown run.
And the other side of it is people are looking at the offense. Kansas City barely could get a snap off.
And they have a decent offense.
Every play. The defensive coordinator, it's Wade Phillips, right?
Yeah,
I think it's Wade. Yeah, did a great job because the Chiefs were watching the outside guys, and he sent blitzes inside, and it totally confused the Chiefs. That was a great defensive call.
I'll tell you what, I got a chance to see a player that I've been hearing a lot about, but I haven't really seen him play, is the Phillips kid. Steve,
yeah.
he was immense in that game.
That front seven is scary. I mean, it's when they smell blood, look out. Okay. That's a scary
Tom,
front
did
seven.
You see the punt live?
Yeah.
Okay, I was still listening on the radio at that time because I was still driving home. I know Andy had me in my slippers on the couch, but I hadn't quite gotten
only
there.
On Tuesdays.
I was in my sweatpants on the couch.
Okay. So Jesus, that play happens.
I was still like on 495. I wasn't even halfway home yet, I don't think.
That play happens. Now, they described the play to me on the radio, and I don't know where the ball is exactly, and I kind of figure out what was going on. How did they react on TV in terms of what was happening? Because, again, there's these plays that happen all the time. And I shouldn't say all the time. These plays that happen from time to time that seemingly take the announcers by storm. And they have no idea what's going on. The ball was blocked. It went forward. Was touched by the receiving team. That's the same as a punt.
Right.
Once it goes forward, now that's a live ball if it gets touched by the receiving team beyond the line of scrimmage.
The TV guys at first thought it was the Chiefs' ball. Then they showed the replay, and then they realized that the ball had gone forward and that it was touched.
I mean, they needed a replay to realize that? The ball went like 10, 12 yards forward.
I know. It was kind of confusing, though, because usually when you see a blocked punt, that's one you don't see too often, I got to say, though.
I liken it to the field goal. I know that you'll remember this one, Tom. You know, on Thanksgiving Day with Miami.
But I think that play kind of made that now. Like now, because of this play now every time that happens, it'll register in my head. Oh, he touched it.
Right, but evidently it doesn't register in an announcer's head. And like, you know, I know you trashed ESPN earlier. I was watching the highlights yesterday. I didn't know that. Herm Edwards wanted an explanation. I think he's right. Oh, I didn't know that was the rule. And obscure. No, I just.
It didn't take the guys on TV long. I mean, at first they were like, the Chiefs have recovered, and then when the referees were, because the referees didn't really know what was going on. They were
somewhat baffled on the radio, would you admit? It wasn't until the referee made the announcement, they were like, you know, Bob Trumpy thought it was like.
But when they showed the replay, they said, see, the ball goes forward here, and it's touched by a Chief, and then it's recovered. They said, so it's going to be San Diego's ball. It really didn't take them that long to figure it out.
Right. About as long as it took LaDainian Tomlinson to get to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, man.
That was unreal.
That was a heck of a run.
12 seconds, by the way.
That's how long it took him?
He's a scary man.
Did he have a jaw injury, though, I saw?
Yeah, he says he's fine. He had x-rays, I guess. They were negative, and he said yesterday that he was fine. But that was kind of scary, the way he was holding his jaw. It was like, you know, a broken jaw for a running back. I mean, come on.
Right.
I wouldn't think you'd be able to play very effectively with that.
Well, look at it this way. After they dismantle Seattle this week, he can sit out the final week and rest.
Well, I don't know why we're talking all this about Maurice Jones-Drew. He was involved in that Denny's incident before the draft, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Ricky Manning Jr.?
Yeah.
He's not playing this week. The NFL will suspend him, just like they did for Ricky Manning Jr. Patriots, buddy. Come on. It's Patriots week, baby.
The only person less more negative than Paul is Buzz from
Buzzkill?
More negative than me?
I'm just kidding. Mesa, Arizona. Guys, when do you think Belichick will concede that his offensive play calling sucks? Clearly McDaniels is way out of his league, and whatever he calls is with Bill's approval.
How about he concedes that the talent sucks?
When will this football...
Let's get off Josh McDaniels.
Listen,
here.
I'm in the midst of answering an SPFW.
Give him some freaking weapons, and maybe he'll call plays.
I got to be honest. You guys are getting your dream email here. This guy's about to go on Belichick, and he won't shut up and let me read it. When will this football historian realize that he needs professional experience in play calling, not just a smart kid who's merely happy to have a job? The O-line made mistakes, but it wasn't all their fault. Matt Light was a joke in front of Jason Taylor, but it still comes down to the coaching and play calling. The disgusting offensive performance I saw today showed me that the season is lost, and that the best the Pats can muster is to beat a bad team. Forget about the Pats in the playoffs. There is no way they can compete with teams like the Colts or the Bolts, the Jags, the Broncos, or the Ravens. Those teams will pummel Brady all day long. Hey, wasn't it Brady yelling at McDaniels on the sidelines? Isn't that a clue for Bill that his players are losing confidence in Josh? Buzz, not happy. Was this after the Miami game? Did this come in late?
He's talking a lot about those Houston games.
Brady was yelling at McDaniels on the sideline?
I
didn't see that.
I didn't notice it either, but...
I just think that it's such an issue of talent that you're not getting a true read of. Eric Mangini was a bad defensive coordinator last year when Richard Seymour, Rodney Harrison, Teddy Bruschi, and everybody else was out. Now he's the frickin' NFL coach of the year.
My favorite was him mixing a salad.
There was one.
Let's just say he's the large favorite for head coach of the year.
There was one phrase that he used there, you know, it all comes down to coaching and play calling. I couldn't disagree more. I think it all comes down to players.
I mean, look at Josh McDaniels. He goes Sunday night, Monday, he's looking at his big white board that says
Gaffney,
Kite.
Wondering if they should call
38-year-old Corey Dillon, Bam Childress. I think he's limited in what he can do. I just don't know what the magic cure is. I mean, everybody wanted screen passes. They threw screen passes this week. What do you want?
Right, and I don't want to go overboard and just defend the kid blindly either. But
no.
You know,
I'm not saying he's been good. I don't know whether he's been good or bad.
Is he Charlie
because the
Weiss?
Talent stinks.
No, right. But
Felger's right on that point.
I remember when Charlie Weiss was here.
They ripped
him
every single week.
Yeah. We killed Charlie every week.
I remember that being home on my couch, people killing Charlie Weiss. Right. It was a national thing almost.
He was too creative.
Doc Z was the one who said he was showing off trying to get a head coaching gig rather than calling a good game.
Why do the double reverse? Why do this? Just do this.
Well, when we came downstairs, I was in the midst of answering one that said that he lacked creativity. And I'm like, you can say anything you want about McDaniels, but I don't think you can question his creativity. Right. I mean, they had the double reverse,
back to the quarterback,
the throwback to the quarterback, the direct snaps to the running backs.
And it
all points to me, to Andy's point. When you lack talent, you have to do those things.
Right.
You have to try something.
Well, and
they had a ton of screen passes on Sunday.
And I thought one of the good coaching moves from them was to use the screen passes to show teams maybe in the future you might not want to blitz so much because we're going to hit you with the screen, you know. And
when we do, we'll go 43 yards for a touchdown.
And you know the other thing
too
was
a good move.
Everybody automatically said, you know, they said, well, wouldn't it have been great to do that against Miami with all the blitzing? Well, Bill said, and now I don't take everything that Bill says as law, but when he talks about specific schemes, I do. And he said that Miami didn't blitz that much in that game.
They
got great pressure. And I also think, and this is just my own opinion here, it may be totally wrong. And, you know, a football coach might be listening and laugh. But I think when you have a very fast defense with quick athletic linebackers, I don't think screens are a great way to attack it. And Miami is pretty fast up front.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a misconception that the Jets and Dolphins blitzed a lot. I think they did the exact same thing. I think they both started with just rushing with the front guys, and then as the game went on, they sent screen blitzes periodically at the right times, and then that made it look like they were blitzing a lot because when they did send a blitz, it got in.
But look who was getting to Tom Brady. Jason Taylor, Vonnie Holiday, Matt Roth.
They got all
what do these guys all have in common? They're defensive linemen that rush the pass as part of their job. They're the front four.
And when a guy comes clean the way that Bell did a couple of times in that game, the way that Victor Hobson did a couple of times in the Jets game, it makes it look like Tom said that you're blitzing more.
Right.
When that might have just been one guy. Might have been you rushed five on that.
It was the right call at the right time.
Right.
And I think that's, to be honest with you, that's what the Patriots have done so remarkably well. The Patriots rarely sell out on a blitz. But they always bring guys from places where you're not expecting it, and that's when Rodney comes clean off the edge or, you know, one of the linebackers comes in. They don't blitz 7-8 guys and rely on single-man coverage everywhere. They pick their spots.
Well, we have arguably the best email ever sent from Pat from Ireland. The subject is Tom Rules. Hey, guys, love the show. I was going to ask an intelligent question, but then I heard Andy was on, so I decided to dumb down my question so even he could understand it.
Have a drink, you love.
What's the contract situation?
Non-potato. Irish rat.
What's the contract situation with Belichick? Because if he isn't here next season, we are a Tom Brady injury away from being the worst team in the league.
I got news for you. If he is here... We're a Tom Brady injury away from being one of the worst teams in the league.
It's true. Bill Belichick's the head football coach of this team. He will be in the future, unless he isn't.
And in the Patriots' defense, the Colts are a Peyton Manning injury away from being one of the worst teams in the league. And there's a lot of teams that fall in that category.
This is not the end for Bill Belichick here. They have not officially gone on record saying that he's signed an extension or anything, but... The way Mr. Kraft has said is it's not fair to characterize it as that he's a lame duck coach or he's on his way out. So they've just decided not to discuss it.
The only way he would go is if he wants to go.
Right.
Is if
and
he
can do that whenever.
And I'm told
he could have a 20-year contract and say, you know what, I don't want to coach anymore. I'm done.
I'm told that there is no issue whatsoever with that, that he will be here next year. And we'll
but China might not be.
Okay, Sean McLaughlin chiming in. Happy holidays, gents.
What's up? Sean
I Mack. Think that game was probably the first one in a long time. Paul turned to Fred and said it was over. We all did at the fake punt.
The fake punt, we all declared the game over. And by the way, it was scoreless at the
fake
time.
Fake quotes, by the way. Still don't say that play deserves the word fake.
Well, he says, I have news for Patriots Nation. The playoffs start on Sunday, folks. I hear people making playoff plans. Did they get their tickets yet for the first playoff game? Who we going to play, blah, blah, blah. Folks, we need a win and need to beat Jacksonville with a good sound win. I don't want to lose and have the Jets lose the back and the Jets lose and back into the playoffs. Nor do I want the playoffs to come down to the last two against a guy who Andy Hart is getting one of those fat heads for Christmas in Vince Young and the Tennessee Titans.
You're getting a fat head?
Put it this way.
I already have one.
Put it this way. We lose the next two games.
You even got to steal mine.
You beat me to it.
It's unbelievable. I was setting it up.
Put it this way. We lose the next two games. We don't deserve to be in the playoffs, and the season will be an utter disappointment to me, as it should be for the rest of Patriots Nation. For this season to even be considered a successful season, would a berth in the AFC title game he left out a word. It would have to include a berth in the AFC title game. To me, that is a good season for this team. But it starts this Sunday.
Yeah.
And then
well,
he's got one little other thing he said. Is it just me, but John Tomasi from the Herald has about as good a chance of getting a Christmas present from Bill Belichick as Terrell Owens does from Drew Bledsoe. Every time he asks a question, Bill sounds like he's going to lay the smack down on him.
What are you looking for?
Merry Christmas, PFW team. Thanks for another great year.
That didn't warrant any inclusion of a poor soundbite in Andy's favor. It's John Tomasi. Can we focus on the question, Gary?
I think that's accurate, by the way. I don't think that...
Did you bring me up on the pregame show at all? In regards to that from last week?
No.
My sister called me and said she heard on the pregame show that somebody said I should be getting my resignation ready or something.
No.
Interesting.
Was not me. It was not on our show either.
I wonder what she was listening to.
Is this guy kidding?
I'm not resigning. They'd have to fire my ass.
Josh from Arlington. He says,
we can arrange that.
He says, I emailed on Friday and asked him on other things for you to humor me about whether Gaffney would have a revenge game against his former team who cut him. Tom was not pleased with his suggestion. Don't you think that Gaffney catching his only touchdown of the year would count as a huge game? Huge game is a relative term. Well, now you don't get the rest of your email read.
Well, he had a huge drop, too.
One catch for 6 yards does not a huge game make.
No.
Not a huge drop.
Especially when your biggest play of the day was a dropped touchdown.
That was his, I thought that was like his moment. Like if he had caught that pass,
then people
would have started to get excited about him a little bit.
Well, and then I think he could call in and say, you know, that they were trying to get him a big game or whatever. And obviously it meant something to him because he talked about it after the game. But I think Tom's point was, it's not about, I'm going to go turn it on extra. I'm not Terrell Owens, and I can pick and choose the games that I put 12 catches against the team that I want to do it. Jabbar Gaffney is,
Gaffney.
Catch, 6 yards. That's what you're going to get.
I don't know what's going on here. We got too many.
Did you happen
emails.
To see that Caldwell, by the way, had another one of those games where he averaged 4.2 yards per catch?
Did not much of a team lead receptions, though.
Just like someone said in Point Counterpoint.
What?
I don't know. I forgot. It's Josh.
You say a lot of dumb things in all directions in Point Counterpoint.
Josh in Jacksonville, down with the Jags, he says. Hey, guys. Isn't that the guy we just talked to?
No, that was
Wayne.
That was Wayne. We're big in Jacksonville.
I'm not sure if I'm the only one who is noticing this, but one thing I see improving is our defense is when the ball is tipped, we actually intercepting it. I do remember in the beginning of the year that when we had a tip ball, there was no Patriot defenders anywhere near it. Have you guys noticed this? And also, is there a stat for tipped interceptions? Thanks.
I don't think there's a stat.
Was this a Bill Belichick press conference?
I don't think there's a stat. I was going to let Andy answer that.
That's a good question, Josh. That's a real... let me get back to you on that.
I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I don't personally think you can improve on catching tipped interceptions.
I think you can actually improve on catching them, not being in the right place at the right time.
He's talking about being there, that there wouldn't be any Patriots around. Now there are.
Circumstantial.
Yeah, that's luck. It's where the
but
guys are.
They do
are.
Work on the tipped ball drill.
No, catching the ball is a skill. I'm talking about being there to catch it is luck. If you're on your receiver and the ball gets tipped 20 yards away, you can't catch it.
Right. Just like sometimes you get a pick out of those when you're 10 yards behind your receiver because you got blown out in coverage and you just happen to be in the right place at the wrong time.
The play that Richard Seymour made was an outstanding individual play where you tip the ball up and you recognize it and you catch it yourself. That's
still somewhat
amazing.
Luck, though,
oh, absolutely.
That the ball, when you tip
absolutely.
It, goes to a place where
he
can catch it.
He just as easily could have turned the other way and not had time to react to catch it.
Right.
But the Teddy Bruschi tip that went to James Sanders, if James Sanders is covering the same guy doing the same job, absolutely 100% what he's supposed to be doing, but he happens to be 5 yards over further to the left, he can't make the catch.
Right.
So I think there's a, tip balls that get, there's an element of luck to that. And when they fall incomplete, it's a lucky break for the offense.
Word.
Okay, well, Ben's got a question about Peyton Manning. He says, being a diehard Pats fan seems to make me a diehard Colts hater, specifically Peyton Manning. Perhaps you could explain to me if there is a special Peyton rule that allows him to false start on almost every play. He dances around under center like a chicken on crack. What gives? Well, he's not actually under center.
Right.
That's the.
Yes, there is a special rule for Peyton Manning.
It's
called the anti-patriot rule. It was authored by Bill Polian to go against Fred Kirsch.
And he goes on to say that when a quarterback moves his head a half an inch, they're called for a false start, but that's when they're under center. Manning does all this stuff before he goes under center.
Right.
So that's the difference.
I would liken what Manning does to what Tom Brady does by pointing out the linebacker before a play and adjusting
right.
his protection. I've never seen Tom Brady get called for a false start on those plays either.
Okay, well, we'll hit up one more before we take a break.
Now, annoying, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see the start of the game last night where they did that with that comedian?
Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller did it. He was, you know how they have the guy come out before the helmet that you have to grab? Are you ready for football?
I've actually never seen the start of
football.
Well,
you don't
football.
Need to. It's just an ad for GMC that goes on for 45
right.
minutes. But they had Ben Stiller come out in a Manning jersey, and he starts lifting his leg, pointing, and he goes, no, no, no. He's lifting his leg and pointing at the same. He's yelling like, outside, Hambo, point my eyes. You see my eyes? I'm pointing my eyes. And then it was funny. It's histrionic. As you
Short
like
Ox! Short Ox! Short Ox! Richmond, Florida, Buffalo! Short Ox!
Richmond, Florida, Buffalo!
But
there is no way Richmond, Florida, Buffalo all mean something. No chance.
Trips right. 255. X block slant. H disco. Alert 12 trap. No, alert 14 belly.
See, now that I think could be a play. But Richmond, Buffalo, Virginia, whatever, there's no way. They just have a thing where he yells states out or something.
Okay, well, Tom.
Or cities.
Cities. Tom from Nottingham, England. Good, strong win. However, this was an awful Texans team who we should and did demolish. Good to see the defense making plays, although what were they really up against? Well done to Hobbs. Great kickoff return. He did just seem to run straight up the middle, but still running 93 yards is quite an achievement. Like I said, the start.
He almost got caught at the goal line, though, high stepping.
Paul couldn't do it.
Like I
thought I'd save you the trouble.
Well, not in the high stepping thing was a joke. Someone in the
press box. Yes, it was a joke. He was a good 8-10 yards ahead of the guy, and somebody in the press box just wanted to take a cheap shot.
Well, I just thought that Patriots didn't do that.
I just thought it was funny.
Well,
that
I know one thing. Steelers don't. Not anymore. Did you see Anthony Smith when he high stepped?
Is that 27?
Well, it was the guy from Syracuse.
I saw a guy getting chewed out on the sideline, but I didn't see what
Anthony
happened.
Anthony Smith picked off a pass when they were up like 34-37-3, and he put his hand behind his head and started kicking his legs up towards the sidelines, and Dick LeBeau grabbed him by the jersey, brought him over, started yelling and screaming at him.
Then I saw Cowher later.
Yeah, Cowher was kind of like Pat, just saying, we don't do that don't do that. I think it was more because of the rubbing it in, probably because,
right.
I don't know. But we heard that Deion said Devin Hester shouldn't showboat. On NFL Network, Deion was like, Coach, let him go, baby. This is the NFL. This is how we do it.
Hester said it, actually, that he called him and chastised him for it.
Yeah, but Deion...
Which I found highly
ironic. No, but Deion said on the NFL Network that it was misconstrued because he was telling them, don't just focus on that. You still have the talent to become one of the best players in the league, not just a return man. He said, don't forget to work on being a defensive back because you still got more to do. And he said it kind of got misconstrued that he was telling him not to dance and stuff. But he did say, if he's going to do my dance, he better do a better job than that because it took me 10 years to perfect that thing. He's putting it to shame.
I got to tell you, I don't generally like a lot of those kinds of players that do all the showboating hot dog stuff, but I absolutely loved Deion Sanders.
I did too.
I loved watching him do that dance.
Because I think if he plays your team, you hate him. But then if he's on your team, you love him. He's one of those guys that...
See, I don't even think... I think you have to force yourself to hate him even when you're playing against him.
But like I
your
always
instincts
hated,
tell you not to hate him.
I always hated Randy Moss and Terrell Owens and these guys. And there's really not that much of a difference.
Right.
Except for maybe Sanders is better.
But he pulls it off... He like Chad Johnson, who's actually on
I love
Fat
Chad
Hat
Johnson.
Ed right now.
Yeah.
He's funny, and he pulls it off so even Bill Belichick thinks it's funny.
Did you see the thing last night?
Yeah. Well, did you see the whole thing before that where they did 9 to 5 with 8-5 where they picked him up for breakfast? He got out in his bathrobe. He went to McDonald's in his bathrobe. Then he went to the – he was standing in the middle
of
the field.
That's good stuff, Tom.
He was standing in the middle of the field in his bathrobe.
Tom, you should go to team breakfast on Sunday for the game in your bathrobe.
Then he went to the bank and took out his fine for this week in cash to send to the league. He said, it's on its way.
But they weren't
going to let him play
with those
shoes.
I think the quote was, it's either you or the shoes.
And
you
did
choose.
You see who the person was? It was the neck guy, Merton Hanks.
Oh, really?
He was the compliance officer employed by the league at the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Either you or the shoes or something like that, he told him. I heard that in the radio.
I loved the shoes, too.
The shoes were hilarious.
They were tremendous.
And Tom closes by wondering what the John Rook is up to. It's 48. And
it has been for quite some
time.
And holding.
Crawling like a handicapped snail.
Which,
I mean,
yes, you do the math, that's 4,952 shy of the goal.
All right, Gary, well, let's take it.
They'll never make it. I don't think they're going to make it.
Did you take it? I said...
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves. Come on, baby.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much? Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
This is PFW in progress.
Mrs.
Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
BFW in progress.
All right. Quiet, everybody. Our director will be here any minute and we'll start rehearsal. Here he comes. Attention, everyone. Here's our director.
With Fred Kirsch.
Oh, no. We're doomed.
Paul Perillo.
Rats. Nobody sent me a Christmas card today. I almost wish there weren't a holiday season. I know nobody likes me. Why do we have to have a holiday season to emphasize it?
And Andy. And Andy?
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel.
Andy Hart.
I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy.
I'm never happy.
Some guy named Tom.
Rats. You've been dumb before, but this time you really did it.
Oh, everything I touch gets ruined.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
That's right. What about my part? What about the Christmas Queen, Are you going to let all this beauty go to waste?
PFW in progress.
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown! Hark the herald angels sing, glory!
We're back. PFW in progress. No Fred Kirsch, Tom Casale, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo.
So we are not running lean. Paul's here.
Running.
Well, we're running lean.
That's what he always says in the second hour. We're running lean because the fat man's off or
we're
something.
We're running leaner. You seen the size of Fred lately?
I cut the fat man loose. Is that what you said?
We lost the fat man and we're running lean.
Fred, like Maurice Jones-Drew, is a bowling ball with feet.
Yeah.
Except he's not fast. Hopefully not listening either.
Web radio at patriots.com. If you want to give us a call, it's 508-543-7482.
Just to recap the last 30 seconds for Andy Hart, he ripped his boss by calling him fat and slow and basically said that I have no personality.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, I think that's what you said.
I said the show you were on this
morning. I need someone to bring out my personality.
You tend to be a bit of a
psycho. Because I'm a wallflower, Tom. You didn't know? I don't have much to say.
Blend in with your surroundings. And with a know-it-all, I mean a no-not-at-all, no personality, just says the last three words you say and agrees with it, like Meter Perel, it is what it is. The show stinks.
I thought the show was fine.
All right.
For the first time I ever really worked.
That is all, see, that's what he does. That is all. You probably said Chad Jackson needs to turn it on or the Patriots done. That is all.
That is all.
Oh, you didn't hear the Johnny Damon interview, right?
For those
Johnny,
of you that don't know what they're talking
Damon.
About,
he did.
I don't either.
Johnny Damon called something very awesome today.
Was he really in studio?
No. On the phone.
Well, he kept saying stopping by, and it made it sound like he was really stopping by.
All right, I got to put an end to this.
Okay.
Sorry, Mr. Professional.
Mr. Professional who goes, take a break. Did we take it?
Well, that's Gary's fault. I warned him an email before that we were going to take a break. He's over there playing cards, chewing tobacco. I mean, I don't know what he's doing over
wacky
there.
Wacky tobacco.
Jeremy from Newmarket, New Hampshire, chimes in. Hey, guys. I'm quickly.
All right, Jeremy.
I'm quickly moving over to Tom's camp in regards to Corey Dillon. He's just awful. He was a great player in his day, but the guy is coming to the end of his career. He couldn't find a hole and had trouble getting to the edge. Heck, at this point, I'd start Heath Evans as my primary back in front of Dillon, with Maroney currently sidelined. Also, I'd like to applaud Tully Bannacane's stellar play.
Tully!
His hard work is paying off. He brings speed and athleticism to the game. We need to build on this in the draft. Can he continue to contribute and improve his play? Let's hope so. The Patriots had a great game against a poor team. The Jaguars are going to be an entirely different animal, and the Titans are playing really well. We've got to win out and have a chance to get out of the first round of the playoffs. The players need the confidence if they're going to make any sort of run in the playoffs. So what about Bannacane?
I was going to ask, what do you guys feel about TBC?
He's been playing pretty well, I think.
I think he's okay.
I mean, nothing great.
I still look at him as a guy that in spots can be valuable, but I don't want him necessarily playing every down. Now, I know he's only playing every down out of necessity with the injuries, but there's been a lot of talk about how strong his play has been, and I don't want to be, you know, like Tom and just trashing everybody, but...
Who am I trashing?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Who?
Everybody.
You know, Corey Dillon, the receivers... Everybody, you know.
Well, when you mention someone that doesn't deserve to be trashed.
But I don't necessarily think that Tully Bannacane has been great in his time. First of all, he hasn't played that much even since Seau got hurt. He hasn't been a fixture in the starting lineup. One game, they played a 4-3. Another game, they played a lot of sub-packages that he was in and out. So he had a good game Sunday, and I think the emailer put it right. Against a bad team.
Right.
And what was his other best game? Minnesota. Another bad team. And
Buffalo. He's a flash guy. He'll have flashes. You'll see him here for one game. You'll notice him. The next game, you don't even know he's on the field.
And that's what a spot player is. I like him in spots.
I heard Teddy Bruschi talking about that yesterday on Patriots Monday, where he said the real thing that Tully needs to strive for is people know he can make plays here or there, is consistency in his game.
I heard that, and maybe that was kind of seeping into my memory because that's what I feel.
I still think he's a guy that I see a lot of times just sort of running around. Sometimes he runs around and actually gets to the quarterback. A lot of other times I feel like he's just running around.
And I'm trashing everybody?
He's been consistent. He's
DBC.
I thought it meant
to be cut 2 years ago.
He's been trashing him for a while now, so much to the point that Tully actually talks to him about it.
And after joking with him about it, it's so much to the point where I joke because things that are true aren't necessarily things you joke about.
Right.
And if the guy is just a guy who sort of runs around and isn't that good, it's not that funny.
Now, he has a fair amount of sacks, probably.
Tied for third with 5.5.
And he has to be number one in sacks.
Of course, as you pointed out, there's like none if you take away his two games against bad teams.
But I'm just saying, you probably.
But I think you can do that with a lot of pass rushers.
Sacks
so
per play, he's got to be off the charts.
Do we keep that sack?
No.
Stat?
No, we don't know.
Is that in his stat line? Where I can find that in the game.
I'll give you an example, Andy. Bill used to talk a lot about Jarvis Green as being a highly productive player per play, per opportunity. I think Tully Bantakane has done very well with his opportunities, but I don't necessarily see him as being any better. In other words, he has 5.5 sacks as a guy who plays part-time. Maybe he has 6 if he's playing every down. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily see him as a guy who can play every down. You know, for 16 games.
Well, what we're saying here is this isn't like a Cameron Wimbley. This isn't one of those blue chip. This isn't a guy who's going to just take the defense on his shoulders and be a 10, 12, 14.
I think his ceiling is maybe a starting linebacker on a good defense if you draft a guy next year. If he's sort of your third, fourth linebacker, you say, you know what? He's solid.
Right.
Okay, I just don't think he's a guy in 5 years you're saying is the key to your defense.
You're building around.
Now, the next step I want to ask you guys before I turn this into the Tully Bantakane hour.
Is that a shot?
We
answer questions that emails bring up, and now we're getting shots?
You want me to take a shot? I'll take a shot.
No. I said I'm turning it into the Tully Bantakane hour. I said before I turn it into. I wasn't taking a shot at all. He's a seventh-round pick. You know, on his rookie contract, he's up now. With each one of these sacks, does he become another one of these guys that maybe other teams look
question.
At and say, geez, he's pretty productive as a part-time guy in New England on a good team. Maybe we can give him something.
And I'll give you.
And how much do you go? How far do you go as the Patriots to make sure that doesn't happen?
I'll give you a good example. Who else runs the 3-4 who might know Tully Bantakane who needs some pressure on the quarterback?
Jets.
J-E-T-S.
So I'm excited to be a head coach.
You know,
and I mean, Eric.
So maybe my Eric, maybe my Tully Bantakane hour is not so dumb now.
I never said it was dumb.
The Cowboys have Greg Ellis coming off a devastating injury, who's getting older. They need some pass rushers.
And
they run the same defense.
And there's more 3-4 teams now than there were when Tully Bantakane was drafted 4 years ago.
Just to poo-poo your little story.
That's
though,
an interesting point. I'm going to keep an eye on that.
Your little thing about the Jets. Eric Mangini might be like I am, and he's seen him enough to know.
And that might be true.
Maybe he might have a better chance in like Dallas, where they haven't seen him as much.
But you know how stats can, you know, how much.
But that's
better,
my point. I don't think the stats will sway Eric Mangini.
How much
he's
better?
He either likes him or he doesn't.
No, right. I'm not just talking specifically with Mangini. I'm talking out in that market. How much better really is Samuel this year than last year? I think he's been better. Don't get me wrong, but that number is going to jump off the page at people.
Right.
Yeah.
That interception total.
No question.
And someone's going to pay based on that. And I think that could. Obviously, we're talking a much smaller scale with Bantakane. He's not going to get
a
huge signing bonus up front. But
Asani Samuel is a starting NFL corner.
Yes.
There's plenty of tape to go on.
That's why I'm not.
You can break down his game. Tully Bantakane, you're going to say, well, he's been successful in most of the games he's played in.
And look,
do we project him as
And look what the Patriots gave Jarvis Green for a similar kind of role. Now, Jarvis Green was much more productive. But I think Andy and I both think that they overpaid a little bit for Jarvis Green.
What Paul's saying is another team might look at Bantakane like the Patriots did Vrabel.
Right.
You know,
no question.
If we get him,
I think that's perfect.
No question.
So I didn't realize that he was up, but that's going to be an interesting guy to keep our eye on.
The
flip side of that, Tom, is the Patriots didn't pay that much to get Mike Vrabel, right. So therefore it wouldn't have cost Pittsburgh much to keep him if they wanted to.
I don't think it's going to cost much to keep TBC if you want him and he wants to be here.
Unless it's someone like Crennel or Mangini, who, like we said, likes him and thinks they can use him more.
And maybe they entice him a little bit.
That would be
more.
The one way, is a Mangini or Crennel who says, you know what? I know what he can be in my defense.
And Mangini might also know what the Patriots would be willing to pay him and give him a little bit more.
It's tough having him in the same division like that.
That's why Bill isn't happy.
The other thing is,
that's why we got to get his shoelaces.
The other thing is, if you're a gambler, if the Patriots whoop a team first and the Jets match up well with them, always bet the Jets, because they're going to do the exact same thing that the Patriots did
to
them.
And that, we were talking about this Sunday. I've never been, you know, prouder of myself for accurately diagnosing a game before it happened, because that's exactly what we were all talking about on Thursday. I felt like my Aunt Camilla right there last Thursday. You know, we all talked about the Jets' passing game was perfect for the Vikings.
All right, well, we got an upset fan in Chicago. It's the guy I can't name. Karthik, is that his name?
It's what happens when a little kid eats too much candy and then they go on a long ride to grandma.
Karthik.
Okay, he says, hey, guys, it's all over. Though it's a lopsided game, we all know that this team needs to fix a lot of things. We may win against Jacksonville and go to the playoffs, but I'm 100% sure that our season is over. The possible teams in the playoffs, Indianapolis, San Diego, Baltimore, Denver, the Jets, I guess Cincinnati and others are gone. So I don't think we can beat any of these teams. We lose to Denver, maybe we can beat the Jets, but I doubt that too. Even if we do, we either go to San Diego or Indianapolis and get whooped. I guess going forward, we need to bring in a few great receivers on the team and make the game to be played with Tom Brady's arm. All those linebackers, defensive ends are of great need, but I think we need to couple both of those first round draft picks and go pick Calvin Johnson, if he's worth it. Maybe Tom knows about it. Why don't you guys tell me what you think can be done to upgrade the receivers? I guess getting receivers is a great need to make use of Tom Brady rather than wasting him and Maroney. If we try to build a defense, we cannot win Super Bowls for the next 3 years. Thanks. Interesting perspective.
Major League 2, Randy Quaid. That was that emailer right there. We stink. We're never going to win. We can't do this. Even if we win that game, we're going to lose the next one. Wow, that's a lot of negativity right there in that
fans.
Email.
They're very extreme in one way or the other.
The only part of that, and look, we've all been talking about not having a lot of confidence in the playoffs, so I think that the three of us necessarily haven't been sold. But
he just listed 12 teams they can't beat.
But how did you think any differently than that email before Sunday and come away with that feeling now?
Right.
Because I don't remember an email over the top negative like that before the game Sunday. Do you?
No.
No.
So cheer up, Karthik. It's not that bad.
Yeah, and let's put it out right now. Get it out of your head. There's no Calvin Johnson coming here. I've already seen Kuiper's got him ranked second as the second-ranked player in the draft. He's going in the top 6-7 unless the Patriots can move up if they want him that bad. But they're going to have to move up awfully high.
Does that include underclassmen? Kuiper's
it did
list.
Include underclassmen, but he said that no matter what, he's top five. He's Calvin Johnson, and
I thought he was a junior.
Was he a junior?
He's a junior.
I didn't know that. So obviously, it does include underclassmen then.
But well, no, he was just saying, like, they asked him who's your top like 5 or 10,
right?
And he said Calvin Johnson, no matter who comes out, is going to be. I think he's got him ranked one right now.
Well, the other problem with that is too. Are you really going to trade up? Because you're going to have to unload both your picks and a whole package to get up there. And you took your receiver of the future last year.
Right.
It just didn't work. So now you're investing 2 straight years in your receiver of the future, and you still have no defensive youth.
I got to be honest with you. I love Calvin Johnson. I love him. I think he's going to be better in the pros because Reggie Ball sucks, but I never trade that much to go up and get a receiver.
I would never trade up.
It's got to be a quarterback or some stud running back like Adrian Peterson.
Right.
I wouldn't trade up for a wide receiver, but it's interesting that you brought that up, Andy, because there was in the show following when I was coming here from the midday show that was on WEEI, strange opposition. Dale and Holly were talking about. Holly says they absolutely will take a wide receiver with one of those two first round picks. Says guaranteed. Dale says guaranteed they won't.
Well, I wouldn't be guaranteeing against Holly, who's an assistant coach.
Well, I don't even care about the connection. I wouldn't guarantee that the Patriots won't pick anything. I think we've learned our lesson with that.
Right.
Okay. And as you know, Holly pointed out to him, until they took Lawrence Maroney, they had never taken a running back. That was basically all the premise was for Dale was they've never used a wide receiver, a first round pick on a wide receiver. Well, first of all, that's ridiculously semantic driven because they traded up in the second round and took Chad Jackson with the 36th pick.
Right.
What's that? The fourth pick of the second round. So if you're willing to put that much of a value on him, you're willing to take him in the first round.
And if this is the day we're choosing to believe Bill Belichick and what he says, they were considering him at the 21st pick.
Right. And I wouldn't say that, you know.
I didn't say that.
I think that they need defense, personally. I think they need linebackers and cornerbacks. But if they're not there, if the
right.
players that they, just like last year, if it's not what they want, the guys available aren't what they want, why wouldn't they take a wide receiver?
Right.
No, but they definitely at some point need to address the linebacking position in
this
draft.
Without question.
You can't run a 3-4 with five linebackers on your roster and it just doesn't work that way.
They have to get linebackers in the first day this year, there's no doubt.
But I just think we've seen
that every year.
I don't know. We've seen them try to patchwork linebacker for a while and it hasn't really worked. Whereas I feel like they can sort of patchwork. I know they didn't do the job this year, but patchwork receiver. Now, if they think Chad Jackson stinks and that the Chad Jackson they have is what they're always going to have, I think differently.
Absolutely.
But you've still got to hold out some hope.
That's a great
That'll
point.
Be telling in the draft. If they do take a receiver
right.
high.
I think that tells you. And
right.
Everybody will be writing that, and they'll get mad. Because remember, everybody wrote that about Daniel Graham.
Right.
When they took Ben Watson, everybody was saying that. Well, that means that they think Graham is a bust, and they didn't think like that.
But if they think Chad Jackson is still going to be the Chad Jackson they thought that they put out for their photo shoot with Lawrence Maroney,
then they'll just go sign a mid-tier receiver.
Right.
To bring
you can
in
get a Rishay Caldwell then, who, if he comes in and has 50 catches, is good next to a good Chad Jackson.
Yeah, I don't know who's available, though.
No, but I just think, or even a third-round pick, a Greg Jennings or some guy you can get later to come in who you don't expect to light the world on fire, just make some plays for us as our third receiver.
Okay.
But I want a young, playmaking, defensive player. I want a guy
that
I think
if
the ball comes near him on defense, he can score.
I want that edge rusher.
Edge rusher?
Sean Merriman,
I'll take a
Marcus
safety.
Ware.
I'll take somebody who I think can change games on defense.
They ought to just wait until that USC safety comes out.
Your boy Ware's getting better, too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he's
he was a better player Saturday night than the last time I watched a full game of him. I'll tell
and
you
he
that.
Made well, and he made that in the Giants game. He made that great tackle on Brandon Jacobs there on that fourth down. That's
oh,
a play
yeah.
he probably wouldn't have made last year. He's definitely gotten
better. I remember that play too.
The problem he has is that it's the
Merriman
argument.
Comp,
you know,
right.
They should have taken Merriman, but he's good. But that's what I want to see. I want to see that guy that can get to the quarterback like. One of those
young
guys.
Athletes.
Yeah,
I like young athletes. Tom likes young girls. I like young athletes.
I'm straight, like Lawrence Maroney.
Well, Pratt
I
Pye.
Love young girls.
Pratt Pye from Germantown, Maryland.
Pratt Pye?
That's what it says. Shout out to my man Tom Casale. But you know why?
I wonder why he's reading it.
I'm reading them all.
I'm just kidding.
He just hypes up the ones that give him a little ball wash.
What the hell does that mean? But you know why? Guys, it was nice to be able to finally perform the way we are expected to against a weak Texans team. However, I was very disappointed to see that we didn't take advantage of red zone situations in order to score TDs against a weak defense. How will we survive when we play the elite teams? I really don't get it. Tom Brady can't get the team through the playoffs by himself. Gaffney had a chance to look like a highlight caliber playmaker this week when Brady threw it long to him. Similarly, Chad Jackson had a similar shot against the Bears. These guys are not proven pro receivers, except Troy Brown and most recently Rishay Caldwell. This is what I feared when I heard the news that Gabriel was released. I don't get it. Even if Gabriel isn't a Terry Glenn or Marvin Harrison, interesting combo, we need depth at receiver, and Gabriel guaranteed was not the worst receiver on the Pats roster. Even his highly criticized fumble that cost the team the game against the Jets, interesting, was blown out of proportion. because a Jets defender came from behind and punched the ball out as Gabriel was running towards the end zone. To me, I've seen fumbles from Graham, Watson, Falk, Dillon that have looked a lot worse in terms of how easily the ball was stripped out. According to you guys, do you think dropping Gabriel was a critical mistake that might haunt them in the playoffs? Gaffney, Jackson, Brown, Caldwell, Kite, Watson, all these names tell me one thing. We need Maroney back ASAP.
And just to add to those running back woes, we haven't really talked about it, but Kevin Falk was really limping pretty badly in the locker room after the game. You know, I know that Falk doesn't have the explosiveness that Maroney does, but he is a legitimate playmaker for you, and if you lose him too, you really got to wonder where you're going to get the plays from.
He looked pretty explosive on that 43-yard touchdown.
Certainly did.
He did what Chad Jackson can't, because he got to a point at like the 20 or 25-yard line where all of a sudden he realized, I can score on this play, and he had another gear. You saw him pick up speed.
I couldn't agree with you
and
more.
And get to the end zone.
You told me he was
slow. Well, he is, but he had another gear. He might have been like second and put it to third. I'm not saying
he refer
fifth.
To him as the slowest fast guy in the league.
So you're implying that he's on steroids.
No. why would you say that?
Because all of a sudden he got fast.
No, we think he's slow.
He just he had a gear he needed there for that play.
We don't think he's slow for, you know,
Paul.
Me. We think he's slow for a fast guy.
That all comes from a kick return in 2002, by the way, where 17 Raiders ran right with him all the way to the end zone and just chose not to tackle him. It was weird.
It was the scoring drive was one play, 95 yards, 1 minute 11 seconds.
It took him forever. But he got there.
Yeah, well, that's you guys are right, though. That's another thing to keep up. If Falk and Maroney are both out, whew, listen, it doesn't matter who you sign, because it's going to be Dillon and Heath Evans.
Mike
Let's
Cloud
put it
available?
This way. We'll get another.
Speaking of substance abuse.
We'll get another.
Hey.
We'll get another Minnesota.
Now, that's
game.
On record. I'm not speaking out of school here. He was suspended for four games.
If Dillon,
I know it was a tainted substance like everybody else. But
like Sean Merriman's.
Right.
If Dillon and Evans are the only two backs this week, they'll run the ball less than 15 times. It'll be all throwing because those guys aren't getting nothing inside against.
I think that might be the case anyway.
Say we bring in Chad Jackson and just run end arounds all day.
I think you might have like a Minnesota game plan, because I think, especially listening to Bill yesterday, I know Andy, you mentioned it earlier, he talked a lot about, you know, Henderson and Stroud being kind of like those guys in Minnesota, and I think they're even better because they're more athletic.
Oh yeah,
right. They
yeah.
move a lot better than Pat Williams does.
Yeah, Pat Williams takes up space, but these guys, like you said, they can get down the line and make a lot of plays. So yeah, I think you'll probably see a lot of short passing game here. Where are they going to throw to?
Kelvin Kite, big day.
Josh in Jacksonville again. Reggie Bush. I know Maroney is hurt and hasn't been playing the last couple of weeks, but even before he got hurt, I feel that he was used way too little for his ability. Now let's say the Patriots were able to draft Reggie Bush. Do you think that Bill Belichick would have used Reggie Bush the same way he's using Maroney, splitting carries with Dillon?
Yes.
Maybe just more as a receiver.
Right.
Like in the slot, like they're doing in New Orleans, I would say.
I think New Orleans is using him very well. I don't think he would be a guy like Tom talked about with Maurice Jones-Drew. I don't think that he'd be effective as the guy carrying the load. I think with Deuce McAllister there, I think they're using him well. I don't know how you guys feel.
No, I kind of agree.
Do you think that he'd be an every down guy? Bush?
I think he will be.
I think he might be eventually.
No, I'm not saying he could never be.
I think it's they're doing it fine now, making him like he's all, you know what he is? Like, and someone said it, like, people talk about Mike Vick being a running back, and Steve Young said it. He's not a running back. He's a slash.
Right.
That's what they're doing with Bush. They're kind of making him that receiver, running back combo guy, where that's where Vick could excel. And I think that's a good idea right now. And then, you know, in time, he'll probably be the feature guy.
Isn't that how they started with Tiki in New York?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That role.
And
they were
thought,
like that for five,
years
6 years.
Ago,
yeah, they went a long time with him not thinking that
Ron
he could be
Dane.
A guy.
I think you could see that with Bush over
Remember
time.
The whole
he'll
thunder
evolve.
And lightning thing?
I think he'll evolve into
There's
more
a lot of lightning
every
and very little thunder.
Absolutely.
It's not what the Patriots said this week. Thunder was running all over him.
Well, we got our paisano, PJ's coming in.
Nice.
And then the end of this email is pretty funny.
That means he takes a shot at me.
No, he doesn't.
Or Andy. It could be you.
Or he just says, Tom's great.
No, it's funny. Hey, guys, I didn't hear any of the show, so I might be going over what you guys already went over, but here I go. That was a much-needed blowout for the Pats, but it didn't answer the questions that I am having about them.
True.
This is through no fault of their own, though. I wanted to see a big game out of Brady, one of the running backs, and a receiver step up. They didn't have a chance to because we were up so big. Like I said, I'm not complaining, and I love the fact that the Pats took care of business, but as a fan, I still have those questions in the back of my mind. On to the important stuff. I am now 4 points out of the lead going into the last week of my Roto Bowl Fantasy Football League.
Is this
to win
20,
$20,000?
Yeah.
Tom's pick of Cedric Benson over Michael Jenkins cost me 1 point. No big deal. But Fred's choice of LaDainian Tomlinson over Heath Evans made me around 35 points. Who's the football expert now, Tom? Love the show, PJ. P.S. Whoever the player was that said the Texans shouldn't have even gotten off the bus was right on the money. I hope he says the same thing in about 3 weeks.
What, that the Texans shouldn't bother to get off the bus? They won't have to.
They won't have to. They'll be golfing. They'll be at the World Golf Village.
Early Doucette is chiming in. He says, cool the engines.
Cool the engines.
I'm sure most are back into Super Bowl mode since the
not
beating
really.
Of the Houston.
Not on this show.
Since beating of Houston High.
This is as negative I can ever remember fans being after a win. This was a bit more negative
like
today.
Game.
They're more negative today than they were after the Bears in Detroit.
No, after Detroit, they thought they were the best team in the league.
Yeah, we had positive ones after Detroit. The Bears game was when we had to. We were the positive ones.
Yeah.
Now again,
well, Andy,
we're the positive
ones. Andy, you're always the positive one.
Yeah,
you and Fred
you
are the
home. What I'm trying to tell Bill.
I'm more concerned with all the injuries that occurred. The positive still remains the fact that the defense is so stingy, though I must admit I can't figure out why or how, but I'm happy they are. The fact Houston didn't run over them with Wilfork out was encouraging. But I can't help to feel sick about how Belichick has put Brady into the position of having so little to work with in the passing game. Once again, I understand the stance on Branch and can live with that. I don't understand how they didn't have a backup plan to get more adequate receivers. Chad Jackson being a bust hasn't helped. After watching how the Colts used to die, I think they've misused and underused Maroney. I know Casale feels that way for sure. And do you think Evans will remain with the team next year and Pass will be released? For me, this week is the start of the Patriots' playoff season, a hungry, desperate team that needs a win plus a hostile road environment. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Russell, looking for naughty girls in the sun-drenched OC.
Good for you, Russell.
Naughty.
Geez, way to begin with that one. Kinda.
Russell's not happy either.
Kind of touched on a lot of topics there.
Well, I'll take Kevin Falk and Heath Evans. Both could be cut or both could be here, but I don't think they're really that related. And if I had to place odds, I say Falk's here and Evans would be more likely to not be here.
Well, Patrick Pass, I thought he wanted to know. If Evans
oh,
would
I
be here,
it was
or
Falk
Pass
and
would
Evans.
Be...
I don't Isn't know. Tom's it? Giggling to himself in the corner. Well,
that's because he's reading the next email. I've learned to ignore those laughs because I used to think that he was laughing at something you just said. But now I realize he's just reading the next email.
Anytime someone takes a shot at Fred, I start laughing.
You laugh a lot on this show lately.
That's true. The fans have really been unkind to Fred. Not necessarily, undeserved.
And Mike from Columbus continues with Fred bashing. After this weekend, the Patriots earning a playoff bye is not looking very likely. I'm picturing Fred staying up at night trying to figure out what this year's Super Bowl DVD will be entitled. 3 Games to Glory, 4 with bonus wild card game victory. 4 Games to Glory, more games to glory, 4 Games to More Glory. Whatever the name, I'm looking forward to adding another to my collection. I think this team has had so much success in recent years, they just have not been inspired on a week-to-week basis. I think they are bored with the regular season and are just beginning to get interested now that the playoffs are at hand. Rodney will be a big part. Do you think he'll get some action this week to start getting tuned up? Go Pats.
Maybe. He was upgraded last week. He's practicing.
He's not the best color man in the business for nothing.
I have no idea whether Rodney Harrison's going to play this week or not. He's closer than he was last week, I'm saying.
Does he play? I think he plays in the regular season. I'm not going to commit which game, but I think the fact that he's on the practice field last Friday tells me that
if
he's...
If he can play this week, he'll play this week. If not, he'll play in Tennessee.
I find it hard to believe that they felt that he was close enough to actually get him in uniform in practice, but not going to play in the next 2 weeks. I don't see that.
Maybe they're just planting a seed. So that the team that they play in the first round of the playoffs thinks, oh, he's got to be playing this week. He's been practicing for 3 weeks now, hasn't played yet. He's got to play against us.
You might be
they
absolutely right.
They play games as well as anyone.
You might be absolutely right, but I would think that
well,
any
not football
team,
games, mind games.
Any team that would not prepare for Rodney Harrison in the playoffs would be
right,
foolish.
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine anybody not, if even if you were going to go in through with the preparation, wouldn't you say Rodney Harrison is tougher to prepare for, so that's going to have us more ready if he doesn't play?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know your game plan could change based on who's in there and stuff, but you should be able to kind of adjust.
Right.
I don't know.
We prepare for them all, as Bill says.
I'm glad Fred's not here, because that would have just spawned a 15-minute argument of how it's the right thing to do to lie and cheat on the injury report. And I would say it doesn't matter if you don't win.
I agree. Alex Sanders, the subject is playoffs.
Playoffs?
Talking about playoffs, I just hope the Patriots win another game.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Jim Mora will forever be one of my top five favorite coaches of all time.
Senior.
We couldn't do it.
Because Junior is one of my all-time five
offensively.
Worst.
And Junior will be unemployed in 2 weeks.
No.
He'll be at the head of the friggin' line with his resume in Washington.
He's going to be like, have that knife right in the back of Tyrone Willingham.
That's true.
He's got those shark eyes.
Is it just me, or does it bother you as well to watch Denver as the fifth seed? This team is just kryptonite. And the last time we beat them in 2003, they were quarterbacked by the immortal Danny Cannell.
Danny Cannell.
Do you think this is a bad matchup for the Patriots, or maybe having a rookie quarterback hurts the Broncos' chances? Having a rookie quarterback definitely hurts their chances.
And I do think that the Broncos have the Patriots' number, but I wouldn't fear Denver, and I wouldn't worry about it because I don't think Denver's going to make the playoffs.
I'm not sure. A big game this week against Cincinnati. A huge game for the playoffs.
Cincinnati beats them, and that's it for Denver.
I think a rookie quarterback for them is the same as having Jake Plummer in a playoff game. They're both going to poop themselves when it matters. Jake Plummer stinks. Andy Hart. Right again.
He didn't poop himself in the playoffs last year against the Patriots.
Yeah, but he did against Pittsburgh.
But he didn't.
Eventually he poops himself.
But it doesn't matter to the Patriots
the
what he does against
someone
else. The
story is always the same. How we get there,
Tom,
it changes.
Explain to me. Explain the fat head over there. What difference does
why
it make?
Why do you mean, fat belly?
That's why.
We got fat head, fat belly, and big nose.
Why does it matter to Patriots fans what Jake Plummer does in ensuing playoff games after he beats the Patriots?
It doesn't. The point is the Broncos are the Patriots' kryptonite.
Right. Thank you very much.
Who Paul doesn't think will make the playoffs, so it doesn't matter.
I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I think their defense is cooked.
Yeah,
even had trouble Sunday against
cooked
the Cardinals,
by their own head coach.
I think
the Bengals will beat them this week in Denver.
I do as well.
Although trying to predict what the Bengals will do is anybody's guess.
Oh, that was the other funny thing, Paul, with the Chad Johnson thing. He said, Bush called me the other day, said he's going to be watching this game tonight. That's George W., not Reggie. He's so funny.
I'm getting sick of him.
Why are you getting sick of him?
I'm just bored with his act. Rick B. in Orange County, California. It was, but it's too much now.
Uh-oh, we got competition for the hot girls in the O.C.
Yep. He says, first let me start off by saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. That's happy holidays around here. We got B-Lo.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate you terming it exactly the
Merry
way
Merry Christmas.
You don't want to offend B-Lo.
Yeah, I do.
To be honest with you, I don't give B-Lo a second thought.
It finally was fun to watch a Patriots game again.
I don't think
this
has anything to do with that pencil neck geek. Whoa.
Poor Houston provided some fun entertainment for us Pats fans. I love the Hobbs return for a TD, that Seymour deflection, interception, and our field goal kicker hitting the ball well. Question one. I think the Jags will be a tough opponent this week, and even though they lost to the Titans, scoreboard says they lost, but watching the game, they dominated. Do you agree?
Yes.
Well, we didn't see the game, but the stats obviously
23-5 in first downs, 45-15 in time of possession. Something like 385 to 82 in total yards. I mean, it was ridiculous.
But when Vince Young's your quarterback, that's all you need.
If I were to get
Vince Young engineered exactly zero touchdown drives
in that
game.
No, Paul, you miss what he engineers in the locker room, in the confidence, in the swagger.
Hey, had Pac-Man going, walk, 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 walk.
If I were to get off my butt and go to the mall with Tom, I assume he means Brady, prefer a J-Lo greatest hit CD or a Paris Hilton poster for Christmas?
No, I assume it means you.
Oh. What? Why would I want either one?
Do you think Brady is interested in J-Lo? Or
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, who?
Paris Hilton. She's Paris a Hilton. Loser. I'd go J-Lo.
Out of those two, you got to go J-Lo, but yeah. I don't think you'd be interested in either one.
Based on video footage I've seen, I think you'll enjoy Paris Hilton more. I think J-Lo's a little bit of a prude.
Well, that's an interesting point you raised there, young Andy.
I'm looking for a little fun. Same video footage. She's having sex. You don't think J-Lo has sex?
Well, I was going the other way. Oral pleasure she provides. Well,
you know, you just always have to take it beyond the realm.
I think J-Ro's.
We all knew what he was talking about.
J-Ro.
James the iPod guy sends us a link to a story.
Does he?
Oh,
James the iPod guy?
No.
Oh.
It's actually the thing about Brady and who we should date next. He said this would be great to discuss on today's show since we are going.
We started the discussion.
It says,
amazing how Page Two obviously listens to our show.
Yeah, but James says this would be great to discuss on today's show since we are going nowhere in the playoffs and it's too early for the draft.
Wow. I'm very surprised with how unanimous it seems to be that no one thinks that they can do anything in the playoffs. I mean, there's very few.
Should we get Fred on the line?
But usually we are. We were all fooled last year, Fred. Tom, is that why no one's fooled now?
I think that's what it is.
You couldn't find anybody that didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl last year.
I think they got burned.
My hand is being raised right now, just so you know. I picked the Broncos in that game.
Yeah, but we didn't.
And I know that you would rather be right with your pick.
And I was.
And it took 9 months for fans to forgive you for that.
Forgive me. I don't think some of them have.
You know what I think it is, Paul?
Drunk
I think,
in Ireland.
Remember last year in that Kansas City game where I finally said I'm done with them?
Yes.
Because I think the – who's the last good team they played? I mean, not the Bears, before the Bears. Was it the Colts? It was the Colts, right?
That was the Colts and the Jets.
They lost to the Jets.
No, it's the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins game really put people – you know, and said, you know what? The way they got beat, I think it really shook the confidence of the fans and just said, and the Houston game wasn't enough to put it over the top. Now, if they win this week, I think all these emails
would
be the exact opposite.
If they were to have an impressive win, especially against Jacksonville, where, you know, they shut
Fred
down.
Fred Kirsch will
be down
here with his suntan lotion and his one of those stupid big beach hats.
They shut down the run. They're able to move the ball effectively. With a balanced attack, and they win that game somewhat convincingly. I'm not going to say 40-7 because that's ridiculous, but you know, let's say you win that game, you know, 23-10. I think you're flooded with emails next week saying, you know, make your reservations for Miami, boys.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think that's foolish to do that on one game.
I do too.
Yeah, I think you should take the whole body of work.
That's what Bill says.
No, he didn't.
Well,
all depends. All depends on what day and who's asking.
Dan in Broncos country. He said, I was looking on CBS Sportsline, and they list Earl Charles, Zuriel Smith, and Raymond Ventrone on IR. Is this true? They are not on the Patriots.com roster. Is Bubba still on the team, and who in the heck is Earl Charles?
They were on Europe. They're on a Europe reserve list, if I'm not mistaken.
I can't answer that question because I keep asking people, and no one gives me a good enough answer.
Well, he takes the answer,
but he doesn't like the answer.
Well, I know, but nobody knows. You tell me like he's with Jimmy Hoffa.
They were all injured in Europe and could not participate in training
but
camp. But that allows them.
Right?
That allows them to retain.
Well, he's on
their
a reserve.
Rights.
Is Patrick Pass on the team right now?
He's on a different injured reserve.
But it's a reserve list.
But there's about 12 different reserve lists, and when you
go to war and be on a military.
And I believe there's a separate list for Europe injuries, and that allows the Patriots to maintain their rights. They did the same thing 2 years ago.
Practice squad IR.
They did the same thing 2 years ago with Cedric James.
Bitch.
Exactly.
Okay.
And Earl Charles was Ray Charles' little brother.
Okay.
They called him Ray around here.
That's not true. All right.
No, they did.
No, he's not Ray Charles.
Oh, no, he's not Ray Charles' little brother.
Matt from Quincy.
First of all, he'd be like his grandchild.
Well.
He says, always a great show. I wonder if you would discuss, if you haven't already, some of the playoff scenarios for the Pats in the coming weeks. As I see it, if the Jets win out and the Pats lose out, the Jets will win the division due to a better conference record. That is correct.
True.
I have to believe with 10 wins, they would at least grab a wild card berth. But is there a place where I can find an in-depth breakdown of all the playoff scenarios? I do not know.
No.
They probably would get a wild card berth, but I'm sure there's like one or two scenarios that would have to happen that are crazy that the Patriots.
Well, I can just off the top of my head, I can tell you that Denver could finish 10-6, correct?
Yeah.
And Jacksonville could finish 10-6, correct?
Yep.
Both of those would have been.
Both of those things happen. Patriots would be out of luck at 10-6.
So that's probably the
they
one
lost
scenario.
To both of those teams.
And he says, also, did anyone catch the Chiefs versus Charger game Sunday night?
Yes.
I got a kick out of defensive end Jared Allen in the intros before the game. We all know how each player introduces himself and says what school he attended. players have tried to be original by mentioning their high school, middle school, or even elementary school. Allen took it a step further and said the following. Jared Allen, defensive end, homeschooled. Thanks, Mom. I thought it was great.
Hey, I do like that. That is kind of cool.
I think homeschooling should be abolished.
Well, I agree with you on that, but I'm not going to be quite strong. But I don't know about you guys, but I cannot think of Jared Allen ever again without thinking of his video board in Kansas City. His video headshot on the Jumbotron was frightening. Not a bad player, though. Good pass rusher. Player.
Rodrigo chimes in with a subject. Sorry for the long one, Tom, and he has one of the shortest emails of the day. Hey, guys, I know how and why the Texans didn't run the ball over the defense, even without Wolfork. The Texans suck. No need to get excited. I'm sure not. Last week, we were all saying that the Pats should have won big over the Texans, and they did. There's no reason to read any more into it. I think Jim Mora Jr.'s comments were blown up to astronomical heights, but then again, I can't blame the media because I don't think T.O. spit or said anything last week of Mora's comments.
You don't think T.O. spit?
He said he did.
He said he did.
I'm pretty sure he spit.
The spitter and the spitty pretty much confirmed it.
Do you think that Vic's problems are similar to Brady's? No receivers, but when he has time, he can get something done?
No.
No. I actually think the Falcons' receivers are decent. I think that they had a good quarterback. I think guys like Jenkins and Roddy White would look a lot better. And I think that basically Algie Crumpler is a Gates or a Gonzalez with a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't.
I think he's excellent, Algie Crumpler.
I think putting Vic and Brady in the same sentence disservice.
If
to
Tom Brady.
Brady
quarterback the Atlanta Falcons with that running game, I think he would lead them to astronomical heights.
Yeah, I agree.
Astronomical, the word of the hour here at PFL.
And I don't think the Jim Mora comments were blown out of proportion because I don't think he was joking for a second.
He didn't sound like it.
He's an idiot.
I think he knows he's gone. I think he knows he's gone. I think it affected him so much that he went to Arthur Blank's house to personally apologize. So obviously he didn't think they were overblown. He knew that he had done something wrong.
Stepped in the poo.
Right.
And he's an idiot.
And he has shark eyes.
Dan in Fairfax. This is Dan Heffer. Dan, where's your freaking Nightmare Before Christmas?
When's that,
that?
Thursday?
Thursday? All right. Nightmare. That's good.
He has to relate it all to horror movies.
I don't think that would be good cover,
by the way. If they get blown out in Jacksonville, Nightmare Before Christmas.
There you go.
Yeah.
Andy Hart, always thinking positive.
I was going to say, there's that homer Andy Hart again, thinking of the positive angle.
That way we won't be relying on other people to come up with cover words that they thefted from other publications.
Boy, I'll tell you, am I really upset about that. Plus, I got a good laugh about it, just the fact that you emailed it at like 6-something in the morning.
Well, I woke up early, and I sit down, get my coffee, and
took
the day before Globe. Well, because you usually
come
send
on.
Those.
That shot was waiting. That was there. That should have been just included.
You guys don't want my emails? I won't send them anymore.
No, it's the random email. Yeah,
no, the
always...
best part of your emails is I get to laugh at the time code,
yes,
and I get to laugh at the
absolutely.
Actual email.
And I couldn't agree more with that. I don't
so
have
you
anything
provide
to
two laughs with one email.
I don't sleep. What do you want from me?
Plus, you don't miss a play of any game.
Right.
That's the part that makes me
I'm
laugh.
Lucky if I see three plays a week.
I saw more of the game last night than I ever would, and that was only because I was afraid that I was going to miss something.
Oh,
how
did you see more of the game? Because it was the sidebar to the commercials. I mean, holy Christ, you got to be kidding me with that. It's a good thing I don't. Some Monday
it's
night
a good thing I'm
going
to watch no matter what.
But some Monday Night Football games, I'm watching other stuff too. This game, I actually sat down and was like, all right, here we go. The game proved to be terrible.
I did miss the beginning. And by the way, did anybody watch 2.5 Men? Did I miss a good one?
It was a repeat.
Oh, good.
So you didn't miss anything. But Dan says, I'll take Fred's spot. I'll take Fred's spot on the homer train. If the Pats can get Wilfork, Watson, Maroney, and Harrison back, they are comparable. They are comparable of playing with anyone.
How many games did they play without all of those guys? Well, without three out of four of them.
They played one game without all of them was last week.
Right. So the other, and that was the first game Watson
for
missed. The first game that Wilfork missed.
Right. The second for Maroney and the seventh or whatever for.
He said, they may not be the odds on favorite, but I see no reason why they won't have a reasonable chance at winning the Super Bowl. Fred Kirsch.
All right. I will accept that as long as we say that San Diego has a reasonable chance, Baltimore has a reasonable chance, Indianapolis has a reasonable chance, Dallas has a reasonable chance, Chicago has a reasonable chance. Who am I missing?
New Orleans?
New Orleans has a reasonable. As long as all of those teams have a reasonable chance to win the Super Bowl, then I'm on board with that email.
Okay.
So you're saying there's a chance.
And I think there is a chance. I do.
I
just
agree.
Like Ron Borger said, they have a better chance of getting hit by lightning again.
For the second time this year.
That was funny. Alex from Somerville. I think we're all trying to disrespect the Patriots. They all play better. They all.
Oh, that's it.
They all
I think
play
Alex
better
is
when
right.
they're disrespected, especially now that Rodney's coming back. Tom, you were right about Dylan. He looked like a slow rolling poo.
I think Alex. I think Alex is right.
Poo. I think Dylan might be right if he's now being compared to poo. No respect.
Well, boy, a lot of negativity here. Thank God Fred Kirsch isn't here. This would break his fat heart. Gary, let's go to a break. We'll be back for the rest of the show.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much. Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved
$2.25. Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
It's the most
wonderful
time. We're back.
Yes, it's Christmas time. So what are you getting for Christmas? Anything good?
It's getting front, like... opening.
What can I get my father? We have 6 minutes here. What can I get my father? It's the only person I need to buy.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium with your tip,
I wouldn't get him that.
Does anybody
know what he'll have at Christmas night?
We only have 6 minutes.
And your mother will have to clean the toilet bowl.
I don't know.
What exactly happens when you go to the bathroom that, like, the toilet bowl actually needs to be attended to after you're done?
Not only the bowl, but the underside of the seat.
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know how it gets there, but it's there.
I want to know how he's going to rhyme orange fire water with anything.
He will. He better.
Well, we have one last email here.
So I'm just dismissed here. No one's giving me
any
suggestions.
I don't know anything about your dad.
Sure you do. No, I don't know. I don't.
I know he likes youth football.
I don't know where you're going with that.
But. No, but he's the head of, like, Pop Warner or whatever he does. So get him I don't know.
You have nothing.
I do. Get him a 20-inch.
Like old football.
Get him a HDTV. One of those I'm sure he'd like footballs? That. HDTV. I saw a nice 60-inch
Anything
Sony.
A little cheaper?
I was going to say, you may want to go with the old football idea.
Well,
Andy's
I'm pretty sure that
Andy's
any person.
Andy's got an entertainment system.
I'm pretty sure any person that opened an HDTV would like it.
The old football sounds good.
Jesus. Get an updated free cell for his computer. Gary okay, would like well, that.
Teddy 20s.
We got a...
I'm starting to panic
we
now.
Got
I really
a,
don't have anything in mind.
We got a response here from Karthik. There are too many emailers who are giving up the season. Paul, you think we have a reasonable chance. Wake up, buddy. The season is over. And for Tom, it's not negativity, it's realism. Andy, your name means pauper in our language, though it's slightly pronounced different. And you know what it if it's Kunde, then it means ass. So please stop commenting on people's names or their culture. I didn't understand
what?
The Kunde part. Oh, if your name is Kunde, it means ass.
It's actually pronounced Phuket.
Kunde? I've never heard that
Karthik,
in my life.
Nobody was making it. It was a joke, buddy. Listen, if you can't have fun talking about football and watching football, then, you know, you got bigger problems than
I don't know who,
that saying something.
Who was that? Karthik?
Yeah, he wasn't making fun of your culture. He was just making a joke out of your name.
Like I was just saying how unbelievably over-the-top negative the email was. That's all. I wasn't making fun of your name or your culture.
I just
culture.
Won't say anything because he'll get mad if I say something.
And I didn't say – I just – you're right. What you said in your email was right. They do have problems, and it may continue this week.
May not.
But Dan says, not to give anything away yet, but I did not get a rhyme for orange firewater.
It's because nothing rhymes with orange.
No, he said he did.
Oh, I did.
Oh, jeez. Can't have Tom reading the emails anymore.
Make sure that Tom's not in the chair on Thursday.
Jeez.
Actually, all the emails were positive today.
Yeah, he just misread them all.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Okay, so Salt wants to know what they're going to do at running back. He says, obviously Maroney stays, but what about Dillon and Falk? I think Falk should stay and Dillon should be let go. Dillon just can't stay on the field. After any big play, he takes himself off the field. It looks like he's on his last legs. Do you guys remember if he passed the fitness test in the preseason the first time?
Yes, he did.
They just let him go. If we
they let Jonathan Sullivan practice too, and I'm saying he never passed.
If we do let him go, do we draft another running back or go to free agency?
Well, that's the question I was going to say. In theory, you react with because he has a roster bonus in March, correct, Paul?
I'm not positive on that.
I thought there was something, but even if there isn't. If you want to cut him, well, you need a backup running. You can't just say.
Yeah, they have one.
He needs to be restructured.
Brian Leonard, white running back from Rutgers, will be drafted in the third round by the New England
now
Patriots.
Now we're going Maroney Leonard, and
put
that's it
in the books. This guy, he when he was born,
like I said, a backup running back.
You know how you tag your Christmas trees? Belichick tagged this guy like 10 years ago.
It says Belichick
yes,
on his ankle.
He's coming to New England. Put it in the books.
I do think there's actually a pretty good chance of that, but. Still not sure I would feel great about Maroney, Leonard, and Falk.
Well, you can get a free agent guy,
as
too.
As dumb as it sounds, I'd like to have a Ron Dane or a...
Someone like that,
Tyrone Wheatley.
The problem with having Dillon is
you
never know if he's going to play nice.
Right.
And if you have to give him carries just to keep him... Just to
and
shut
you have
him
to
up,
pay him. Yeah. I'm willing to
get
rid of him.
They claim those aren't issues. So maybe we're all wrong about that. Maybe we're beating him up for no reason. They all... I mean, people inside that locker room claim that he's the ideal teammate. So,
yeah, but would he be if he was the guy coming on? You know what I mean? If Maroney got...
Because I'm saying backup. I'm saying Maroney's getting 20-plus carries
you're
a game.
You're saying pure Jerome Bettis.
And Dillon comes in only when Maroney raises his hand and says,
right.
Dillon, come in. That's what I'm saying. I'm full bore.
I don't even
2007
that,
is the Maroney season.
know, <wait. laughs>
but I do would like,
I see
I'd
no
like
reason,
a backup.
I see
I
no
don't,
reason to trash a man's grave. But,
I'm not really a big fan of Leonard, Falk, Evans,
well,
any of those guys.
Forget
being
Leonard.
He's
here.
Primary backup.
I
so
want no part of him.
I think you'd have to go, and I don't want another rookie, so I'd say veteran free agency. I'd like a guy.
Paul, listen, in the 50s and 60s, there was plenty of good white running backs.
Wow.
I'm sure.
You know,
sure.
Paul. You played then.
See, that's what I mean, Tom. Why do you have to laugh at that every single time?
I don't know.
At some point, don't you say, That's just Andy's immaturity rearing its ugly head once again, and just let it go.
What was the number one?
It's just funny because he's like he's on something else. I've never seen anybody change that quickly. I mean, it's amazing. It's like they're all up here waiting to go.
Well, they just he does have them all queued up.
Yeah.
Or as he would say, queued up.
I have them ready at all times.
I would never think of that. I would never think that you played football. 60s.
Because I was born in 60s.
You know what I'm like? I'm like your DVR. I have a dual tuner, and there's always one that's tuned in to make fun of Paul, and the other one is just going about all the other business of my life.
Well,
but who was the number one jacked up last night?
Oh, it was Dallas. It was Austin Miles, the guy I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was one of the best hits on a kick return I have ever seen. I saw that one live.
I thought last night was a pretty good jacked
up. And
that
was Ike Reese, right?
That was very good.
It was Ike Reese.
They have weeks where I think they stretch to even fill out five. Last week I thought it was a good one.
The quarterback hit, who was that on?
Jacked up!
Oh, the Bears. It was Urlacher.
Yeah, Urlacher.
Ricky Williams.
I thought they had some good ones.
I do think it's a little ridiculous the way they do the stage thing where they all have to yell, Jack. You know, I don't like that.
All right. Well, Jesus.
I guess that's our cue.
Gary's giving us the let's go cue. What are you, Fred Kirsch, with your arms folded and your coat on, who I'm sure is up there right
now?
Don't
dawdle.
Don't lollygag.
All right. Well, Gary's had enough of us, and quite frankly, we've had enough of him. So we'll see you tomorrow. Take care.